This is Audible.
The Wedding Dance, Four Weddings and a Fiasco, Book 2. Written by Lucy Kevin. Narrated by Eva Kaminsky. Chapter 1. Phoebe Davis made her way around the Rose Chalet's main hall, helping to tidy away the remains of the previous day's wedding. It had been a gorgeous affair, and Andrew Kyle, brother to the groom and de facto wedding wrangler, had been very happy with the way everything had turned out. Now the flowers in particular, while so spectacular on the day of the wedding, were a bit of a mess, and Phoebe had her work cut out. Case in point, the white roses that were part of the table arrangements were wilting, some already dead. She collected the stems in a garbage bag, being careful not to prick herself on the thorns. RJ, the Rose Chalet's general handyman and gardener, was working to disassemble the indoor gazebo, his shirt sleeves rolled up to the elbows as he lifted a heavy piece of wood. Rose Martin, the chalet's owner, was helping him, her deep red hair tied back out of the way. Every so often, RJ would borrow the tool that Rose was using, and then put it back slightly out of reach. All this led to at least 3 mock threats from Rose to fire him that morning. "You wouldn't fire me," RJ shot back. "At least not with so much still to do." "And not," Phoebe added in the privacy of her head, "when that would mean getting rid of one of the best-looking guys here." Not that RJ was the only good-looking man on the premises. Tice Smith, who handled the music for the weddings, was a handsome guy, too. Right now, he was busy packing up his amplifiers and winding up the cables. He looked a bit of a wreck this morning, even by his standards. Normally, he wore a couple days' stubble, along with artfully disorganized hair. But today, his imperfect look needed help. "The rock and roll lifestyle getting to you, Tice?" Phoebe joked. Tice shrugged, his black T-shirt exposing a few of the tattoos on his upper arms.
"What can I say? Some of us know how to party."
"And some of us know how to handle the mornings after," Phoebe shot back with a playful smile.
"You must not be having enough fun. I'll show you how it's really done sometime."
Phoebe simply laughed at his invitation. All the employees at the Rose Chalet knew that relationships with co-workers were off-limits. Besides, she'd never looked at either RJ or Tice in that way. Rose had hired another new temporary caterer none of them had met yet. But Phoebe knew better than to ever mix work and play. "Would you two focus, please?" Rose said to Phoebe and Tice. But it was clear from her fond tone that she was enjoying their banter. "RJ has to get out of here soon to go look over the site for the house Donovan and I are building, and the architect will be here any minute."
"Everything's going to be fine, Rose," RJ said.
"I hope so," Rose said. "It's just that the house, well, it's such a big deal for me." She flushed. "I mean, for us. For Donovan and me." She turned to smile at RJ. "I'm really glad you agreed to help with the landscaping."
"Sure, no problem," RJ said.
But from the way his entire body language changed at the mention of Rose's fiancé, it looked to Phoebe's eyes as if there was a problem for RJ, and a big one at that. Phoebe continued to pick up and discard the wilted flowers. Every time she did this, she couldn't help but think that there was so much waste for an event that, statistically, would likely not last. Still, she knew just how lucky she was to get to work with flowers every day. She'd loved gardens and blooms ever since she was a child, playing in the soil at her mother's feet. When she'd seen the job listing for a full-time florist at the Rose Chalet, she'd known it was an opportunity she couldn't pass up. Not only was it a fantastic job, but she absolutely loved working with Rose, Tice, RJ, and Anne Farley, who made the wedding dresses for the chalet's brides. Week in and week out, they all worked together to put on the perfect San Francisco weddings. "Actually," Rose said, "while most of us are here, I'd like to go through the arrangements for our next wedding."
"Is there anything to go over?"
Tice asked from where he was packing up a microphone stand.
"It's just the three-peat. We all know what we're going to be doing at least one more time."
Marge Banning, the three-peat, was heiress to a fortune founded on vitamin pills. She was also the woman who single-handedly confirmed everything Phoebe believed to be true about marriage. Marge's upcoming ceremony was her third wedding at the Rose Chalet. The previous two had been big occasions, and they had been identical, using the same flowers, the same cake, even the same dress. As for the marriages themselves, neither had lasted a year. "Now, Tice," Rose said in a tone of gentle rebuke, "you know I don't like you using that term for Marge. She has as much right to a special, unique wedding as any of our other customers."
"But she never wants a unique wedding," Tice pointed out. "She always wants exactly the same thing."
"I have photos of the arrangements," Phoebe said, "so I can repeat them. But won't she want something new this time?" Rose shook her head. "I've already had this conversation with her. Apparently she loved everything so much last time, she wants it exactly the same again."
"She obviously likes the wedding part of things," Tice said, with a conspiratorial smile across at Phoebe. "It's just finding the right man for it that's proving to be a problem."
"Tice," Rose said, but the warning was half-hearted. "Who knows? Maybe this one will be right for her. I'm sure we all wish her every happiness, don't we?" Sure, Phoebe wished Marge Banning luck. She'd need it. The whole idea that there was a right man out there waiting for you was crazy. As if life ever worked like that. And while you were waiting for him to come along, you missed out on actually living your life. Of course, Phoebe had more sense than to say any of that in front of Rose. "Look," Rose said, "why not think of this as a relatively easy week? Anne will be taking a vacation week, since Marge plans to use the same dress as last time." Rose smiled at them all and admitted, "With trying to finalize the plans for the house on top of everything else, I could do with an easy week myself." Turning to RJ, she said, "I wish I could go with you to look over landscaping options at the building site. But I've got back-to-back meetings all afternoon. And speaking of the building site, shouldn't your brother be here soon?" Memories of dancing with RJ's brother swept through Phoebe just as Patrick Knight himself came through the doors to the Rose Chalet's main room, looking every bit as good as he had the previous evening. His dark hair was neatly combed back, and a faint dark shadow covered square-jawed good looks. He was wearing a casual shirt and slacks combination, similar to the one he'd been wearing last night, minus the jacket. She couldn't help staring at him for a moment or two, and for one intense moment, he stared back.
"Hello, Phoebe. It's great to see you again."
"Hi," she replied awkwardly, trying to think of an excuse to get out of there and away from temptation. Unfortunately, the perfect excuse didn't spring to mind. How could it, when her brain was too busy replaying every second of how natural, how exciting it had been to be in Patrick's arms at last night's wedding? She couldn't forget their conversation while out on the dance floor, either.
"Every woman looks beautiful on her wedding day," he'd said.
When she'd asked, "You like weddings?" he'd immediately replied,
"Who doesn't? Two people making that commitment to one another is so important. We should celebrate it more often."
Patrick might have been great to dance with, and it might have been fun to take things further had he not been RJ's brother. But Phoebe wasn't going to waste her time with some romantic who would always want more than she was willing to give. Especially not when the inevitable breakup would make things hard for her to continue working here. the whole mixing work and play issue would end up front and center. Fortunately, Rose pulled Patrick's attention away from Phoebe as she started talking over plans for the new house. Rose sounded almost girlishly excited as she said, "I can't believe that Donovan and I are actually doing this." Nor could Phoebe. The idea of doing something so utterly permanent as building a house with someone made Phoebe's stomach cramp. But if Rose wanted to go and do it, there wasn't a lot Phoebe could do to stop her. Just as she hadn't done anything to stop Julie Delgado from running off into happily ever after land with Andrew Kyle. All Phoebe could do was be there when things inevitably fell apart. She wished that wouldn't happen, of course. If any two people deserved to beat the odds, it was Julie and Rose. Phoebe was still cleaning up the dead flowers as Rose confirmed with Patrick, "You don't need me at the site today, do you?"
"No," Patrick said. "RJ and I will take the day to run through various landscaping options, which I will then present to you and Dr. McIntyre."
"Great." Rose's relief at not having her busy workday interrupted was palpable. "Thanks so much for taking care of everything."
"You ready to head out?"
Patrick said to his brother.
"Actually," RJ replied, "I was thinking that it might be better if Phoebe went instead of me."
"Phoebe?" Rose repeated, clearly confused by RJ's sudden change of heart.
"Me?"
Phoebe asked.
"Sure," RJ said. "You know as much about flowers as I do, probably more, so you're the perfect person to walk over the building site and come up with ideas. You know she'll do a great job, Rose."
"But I thought you were going to do it," Rose said. RJ shrugged, gesturing to the remains of the gazebo.
"I can't leave this. It could potentially fall down and hurt someone."
Tice edged over to Phoebe and whispered,
"Is it just me, or is that the lamest excuse ever?"
"You haven't heard mine yet," she whispered back, while Rose was busy looking over the half-dismantled gazebo. "I guess you're right, RJ," Rose finally said. "The gazebo should come down today so we don't run into any problems."
"Exactly,"
RJ agreed.
"Plus, I still have a complete recreation of Tara from Gone with the Wind fit together for Marge Banning's wedding. Like you said, just because it's the woman's third wedding doesn't mean we shouldn't do it right."
RJ nodded to where Phoebe stood. "Phoebe will do a much better job of putting together general ideas for the garden than I could, and I'm sure she'd be happy to help. Right, Phoebe?"
Rose looked over at her.
"Would you mind? I know it's a lot to ask, but you only need to go up to the site with Patrick while he surveys it, take a look around, and work out what the contractor should do with the gardens. It's easy, really."
Correction, thought Phoebe. Two out of those three things are easy.
Spending the day that close to Patrick Knight would be anything but. The trouble was, Phoebe didn't have an excuse to not go that was even half as good as RJ's. The dead roses pricked her fingers through the garbage composting bag as she clutched it tightly. She was just about to remind Rose about all the cleanup she had to do when RJ beat her to the punch.
"Don't worry about picking up the rest of the roses and flower arrangements," RJ told her. "I'll clean them up after taking the gazebo down."
Phoebe looked over at Patrick, who was watching the conversation with a bemused expression on his face. If it was a purely professional trip, how bad could it really be? And Rose was both her employer and her friend. Could Phoebe really say no? No, she couldn't. Especially since Rose was virtually pleading, and she almost never did that.
"Sure, Rose," Phoebe finally said with a smile. "I'd love to help you out."
Chapter 2 Patrick wasn't sure why his brother hadn't wanted to come along to the site as they'd planned, but every time he glanced over at the passenger seat of his SUV and saw Phoebe sitting there, he was glad RJ had stayed behind. As Patrick drove, he found his gaze drifting over to Phoebe again and again. She had been beautiful the previous night at the wedding, but in more casual clothes, she was stunning. Her figure was great, her pretty features were exquisite, and he could easily imagine kissing those full lips, very easily, and with great pleasure. "So, where is Rose's property exactly?" Phoebe asked, breaking Patrick out of that very distracting line of thinking.
"The plot's in the Seacliff district," he said. "It's not much of a drive."
Which was a pity. He could have driven beside her for the rest of the day quite happily. Unfortunately, she would probably notice if he took a few detours. "Seacliff is an impressive neighborhood," Phoebe commented. "Donovan and Rose must really be investing in this." She shook her head. "I'm still a little bit shocked at how easily your brother roped me into this."
"I'm glad he did."
He could have sworn Phoebe stiffened before saying, "Why don't you tell me more about the site?" The deflection was obvious, but Patrick went along with it. For now.
"It's a great spot. There's a good view, plenty of space for a garden, too. It's going to be a fun one to work on. Lots of possibilities."
"You sound like you really enjoy your job." Patrick shifted gears going down the hill.
"It's an easy job to enjoy. I get to build places that will make people happy and that will be lived in for years to come."
"Seems to me most architects want to leave their stamp on the world. Don't you?" Patrick shook his head.
"I do that kind of thing when the client wants it. I've done it before, but I mostly prefer to create spaces people can enjoy."
That was always the challenge, to figure out exactly what would make people happy. What, he wondered, would Phoebe enjoy? What kind of date would she love? Houses were personal things. You had to get to know the people involved if you wanted to have any chance of giving them a space to live and grow in. Patrick liked to think that dates were pretty much the same. What would it be for Phoebe? Dinner and dancing? Patrick liked to be more original than that. But that very originality had let him down a few times in the past. Women who would have been perfectly happy at a nice restaurant generally didn't react well to men who suggested hang gliding as a first date. Only, what did those first date dinners ever achieve? They got two people into a situation where they might be willing to sleep with one another afterward, but they were always so busy playing the game that they never really got to know one another any deeper than that. He couldn't see the point. He wanted to know a lot more about Phoebe than that. He was attracted to her a lot more than that. Yet maybe the classic option was the best one in this case. She was as elegant as one of those flowers she arranged so deftly. So maybe she was the kind of woman who would expect a restaurant. Patrick wasn't about to risk letting the obvious attraction between them slip away, just because a normal first date wasn't his idea of a great time. Besides, he'd already danced with Phoebe once, and the memories of how good it was to hold her in his arms were still fresh. They turned into the Seacliff district, and Phoebe marveled at the location of the plot, saying, "You weren't kidding about the view, were you?" He couldn't take his eyes off her as she looked out at the ocean with wonder in her eyes. He'd wanted to date her from the first moment he'd seen her working at the wedding the night before. Hopefully, she felt the same way. Rose and Donovan's plot had enough space for a huge house and garden, along with a view Phoebe doubted anyone could ever get tired of. Although in her experience, didn't people always find ways to get tired of everything sooner or later?
"Phoebe, could you hold this for me?"
Patrick passed her a striped ranging pole. "Oh, so that's why you needed me to come out here with you," Phoebe said, smiling, even as she stepped into some soft, damp dirt. She really wasn't wearing the right shoes for a muddy building site.
"Where do you want me?"
The answer to that turned out to be lots of different places. With Phoebe leaning against the pole while Patrick took measurements, they covered most of the property. It wasn't exactly how she'd imagined spending her day, but it was interesting to see the planning that went into building a place like this. As they worked, Patrick asked her questions about her opinions on the landscaping options.
"Do you think we should put ice plants on the side of the site to stabilize the slope to the ocean?"
Phoebe shook her head. "It's such an aggressive species that it grows over the delicate native flowers. Besides, the roots aren't deep enough to really stabilize the soil, and I suspect the neighbors won't be too pleased with a cascading wall of ice plant."
"Well, I wouldn't want to scare off a delicate flower," Patrick murmured as he looked around at the site. "Should I plan for putting all the garden space at the front of the house, rather than on the ocean side to protect the plants from the sea air?"
"As long as we stick to local varieties, it shouldn't be a problem. San Francisco flowers tend not to be quite as delicate as they look." Patrick nodded, his gaze holding hers a beat too long.
"Good to know," he said.
But even as he turned his focus back to the job at hand, she couldn't seem to get her heart to settle down to a normal rhythm around him. He was in his element as he discussed layouts and possibilities, options for changing the basic plan and where the gardens could go. Even as she struggled to keep up in her heels, she had to admit that it was nice to be around someone who was so passionate about what he did. "What do you think about putting some Pacific Coast irises in here?" she suggested, pointing to an area that looked perfect for them. Patrick hesitated. After a second or two, Phoebe figured out why. Laughing, she said, "You haven't got a clue which plants I mean, have you?"
"Honestly," Patrick admitted, "I don't know much about plants, apart from the very common ones."
"You really are the black sheep of the family, aren't you?" she teased. "All those generations of landscapers, including your brother, and you go off to build houses instead."
"How did you know I keep a close eye out for relatives waiting to ambush me with wheelbarrows?"
They both laughed, but then Patrick said,
"Seriously, though, they've been great about my breaking with family tradition to create buildings instead of gardens."
She couldn't look away from his strong hands as Patrick packed up his surveying equipment. Were they done already? It seemed as if they'd hardly been there any time at all, and Phoebe had really enjoyed spending the day with Patrick. More than she could remember enjoying herself with a man in a very long time.
"I helped out a bit as a kid," Patrick continued, "but the garden just wasn't quite the place where I felt a fit, you know."
Phoebe gestured at the nearby houses.
"And this is where you fit in?"
He nodded.
"I love to create things, to build something out of nothing."
"So what had you turning your focus to homes?" Phoebe asked, as Patrick led the way back to the car and put his gear in the trunk.
"I've done a few big offices and public buildings," he told her, "but I wanted to build things that would have more of an impact on people's day-to-day lives."
When was the last time she'd met a man this modest? She knew firsthand he'd won an award for changing the face of the modern city landscape, because she'd given in to curiosity and had looked him up on the internet after returning home from the Rose Chalet the night before. All because of one sweet slow dance she couldn't stop thinking about.
"Everyone thought I was crazy," Patrick admitted. "They told me that family homes were what you did when you couldn't get work doing real architecture. But residential architecture was what felt right for me."
"It sounds like you go a lot by what feels right, don't you?"
"All the time," he agreed. "If you never take risks, you never get any rewards worth having."
His gaze had gone from easy to intense in an instant, and Phoebe's heart pounded in response to his nearness. "So now you go around designing houses as a favor to your brother?" Phoebe joked, trying to lighten the mood between them.
"Actually," Patrick said, "I was going to ask you about that. Do RJ and Rose get along well?"
She thought about the way her boss and RJ sometimes seemed as if they were flirting with one another, despite the fact that Rose was engaged to someone else. Yes, they get along. Why do you ask?
I actually heard about this project from Donovan. He contacted me after he'd read a piece in Architecture magazine that talked about my ideas about bringing modern technology to family homes. And we went from there. I didn't even know he knew RJ until he happened to mention the Rose Chalet.
Phoebe thought RJ would have been only too happy to help his brother by suggesting him as architect for the new house. Then again, maybe he'd assumed that the Rose Chalet's owner had everything under control. Rose generally did, after all. "What is the next step for you in planning for the house?" she asked, curious now after seeing what went into the initial architectural planning stages. She could tell he was pleased by her interest as he replied,
"I'll spend some time speaking with Rose and Donovan to get a better idea of what kind of couple they are. For instance," he explained, "are they going to be the kind of couple who spend all their time in the kitchen cooking together? If so, I'll shift the focus of the house so that the kitchen is the central space. Or are they the kind of couple who like to cuddle up together on the sofa watching Sunday football? Will they spend a lot of time hosting friends or business associates? Are they going to want their own spaces in the home, or do they do everything together?"
Phoebe found herself suddenly imagining a home with a large atrium filled with plants. A home with a nice warm living room that was the hub of everything. A smaller kitchen because they'd eat out a lot. And a big bedroom because they'd be spending a lot of time there. They'd probably need a study too, so that Patrick could have a home office to fill up with blueprints and scale models while he... Hold on. Why was she thinking about Patrick like that? And why was it still so darn easy to picture him coming out to the sun-filled atrium bearing coffee while she carefully teased exotic flowers into growing the way she wanted them? She was still trying to deal with those very unexpected visions when Patrick said,
"I'm glad you came to help with the initial survey and the land, Phoebe. I'd love to take you to dinner. Would you join me?"
Phoebe looked startled by his question, her cheeks flushing beautifully. "You want to go out on a date with me?"
"I enjoyed dancing with you last night, Phoebe, and I'm enjoying being with you now even more."
She took a step back from him, shaking her head as she said, "Last night, dancing, it was a mistake."
"A mistake?"
He frowned, wondering why she was suddenly so skittish around him after they'd been working together so well for hours.
"It definitely didn't feel like a mistake at the time."
He thought he saw momentary indecision move across her face before she tamped it down, and the light that had been in her eyes all day dimmed slightly. "I don't think that we're right for one another, Patrick. Not when we seem to want two very different things out of life." He had to know.
"What is it you want out of life?"
"That's a serious question for two people who barely know one another."
"I've already suggested trying to get to know you better over dinner, remember?"
For a moment or two, it didn't seem as if Phoebe would answer. Finally, she shrugged. "What does anyone want? To be happy? To enjoy life and to love what you're doing?"
"From what I've seen, you do love your job, don't you?"
She nodded. "It's good. I've always loved flowers. Working at the Rose Chalet means I get to do more than just produce endless bouquets for guys trying to make up for missing an anniversary or something else they did wrong." He felt as if a window into Phoebe's heart had just been flung open.
"Do you really think that's the only reason people give each other flowers?"
he asked softly. "It's the usual one."
"I've never given anyone flowers as an apology," he told her. "Have you ever received them that way?"
She shook her head. "I've never received flowers from anyone. I guess people think I've already got enough of them with my job." That seemed sad to Patrick. If any woman deserved flowers, and if any woman would appreciate them, it would be Phoebe. And she of all people ought to see that gesture as more than just a way to make up for mistakes. "What does it matter, anyway?" she asked, breaking the sudden silence. "Like I said, all I want is to be happy, and I am. I have friends and a career I love at the Rose Chalet. Why would I want to complicate that?" Patrick could think of all kinds of reasons, but he simply said, "Maybe one day you'll want more than that." "Maybe." But it was obvious from Phoebe's reply that she didn't believe it, which was quickly confirmed when she said, "Don't hold your breath." Common sense told him that he should leave it there, but there were times when common sense had to take a back seat to feelings.
"I'm never going to talk you around to the joys of romance, am I?"
She shook her head firmly. "I think that's one area where we're just going to have to agree to disagree."
"Well, I think we've certainly got the disagreeing part down."
She laughed at his assessment. "I guess we have."
"So, how about if we go on disagreeing over dinner?"
Phoebe rolled her eyes. "You aren't going to let it go, are you?"
"No," he said, working up a smile for the beautiful woman in front of him, even though he was as serious as he'd ever been. "I'm not."
Although the truth was, one more no and he was going to have to let it go, for the time being.
"One dinner, Phoebe, as a thank you for your help today. What do you say?"
Patrick had always believed in the power of hard work and dedication, but that didn't mean he discounted luck. On the contrary, it had smiled down on him many times in his life. But none better than the moment when Phoebe finally smiled and said, "Let's eat." Chapter 3. "Are you sure I shouldn't stop by my place to change first?" she asked. "I have mud on my shoes. Lots of mud."
"I don't think anyone will mind a little dirt," Patrick replied, having just gotten off the phone with the restaurant to confirm their arrival in a few minutes. "Besides, you look great."
Phoebe smiled, both at the compliment and the thought that wherever they were going, it wasn't so serious that they had to dress up for it. She loved dressing up, but at the same time she hated stuffy dates. She knew she should be putting maximum distance between herself and Patrick, especially given that from the moment she'd met him, crazy thoughts had been flitting through her usually practical brain one after the other. She couldn't deny that he was a gorgeous guy with whom she had great chemistry. Most important of all, there was a built-in ending to things. As soon as he finished the house, he'd be heading back to Chicago. Which meant neither of them could possibly make the mistake of getting in too deep. With those rationalizations firmly in place, she wondered, why not allow herself a little fun? "So, where are we going?" she asked. Patrick grinned at her.
"Don't you like surprises?"
"I like some surprises," Phoebe said. "To be honest, though, with most guys, the surprise is generally something horrible."
"How horrible?"
he asked. "One guy I met collected antique dolls. They all sat on his shelves and stared at me. I couldn't get out of there fast enough." Patrick laughed out loud.
"You'll be glad to hear I don't have anything like that hidden away."
"People always have something hidden away," Phoebe found herself saying, even though she knew she was revealing far too much. She'd just vowed to herself to keep things light and easy, which was exactly what she needed to do, starting now. "The same way you're hiding the name of the restaurant from me now," she said with a smile.
"I'll tell you if you really want to know."
"No," she said, forcing herself to sit back and relax against the leather seat. "You're right. Surprises can be fun." Although she couldn't think of the last time any man had bothered to give her a good one. As they drove through the city, she silently ran through the list of restaurants she knew. She'd done the first date thing so many times that by now she could tell a lot about a man by the kind of place he chose for the first date. Some went for the fanciest place they could afford, trying to impress her. A few others went for smaller places. Either way, she always came prepared with enough cash to split the check. They seemed to be heading for a spot out by the bay, and Phoebe wondered if it was some new place that had sprung up. They parked near a small green space with great views out over the water, where a number of tables had been set out for people to eat al fresco style. "What is this?" Patrick grinned, looking so utterly gorgeous that her heart actually skipped a beat for the first time ever.
"I heard about the nomadic caterer when I was planning my trip to San Francisco. It sounded like a great idea. A restaurant that moves to wherever the owner feels like putting it for the evening. I wanted to try it since I arrived in San Francisco. I just needed the right person to go with."
The right person to go with him to a restaurant that never stayed in one place for too long and was always moving on to the next better spot? Yes, that definitely sounded like her. She was glad Patrick seemed to see it too. It also explained why he wasn't too bothered by the mud on her shoes. Dining out in the open like this meant it was casual. And besides, there was only so much mud you could avoid. The outdoor restaurant looked almost magical. The space was decked out with lights, and every table was positioned to have the best possible view of the Golden Gate Bridge. "I have got to tell my friend Julie about this," Phoebe said, as they went over to take their reserved seats. "It's just the kind of thing she'd love." Patrick raised an eyebrow.
"Question is whether it's the kind of thing you love."
"I think I can probably put up with it for the evening," she said, smiling at him. They took a moment to order, Phoebe starting with a salad and Patrick choosing the soup. The young man hurried off with their first course orders, while Phoebe looked around at the spot the nomadic caterer had chosen for that night. There were flower beds not far from the tables, blue periwinkles and red poppies. "Early friendship and pleasure," Phoebe murmured aloud. Patrick gave her a questioning look.
"What was that about friendship and pleasure?"
"Oh, it's just language of flowers stuff." Phoebe glanced away briefly when she saw how intent Patrick's gaze was. "It goes with the territory, when you're a florist. I suppose it's a bit old-fashioned now, but it's nice to be able to put together a bouquet now and again that has more to it than just a few pretty colors shoved together."
"Somehow, I doubt that you have ever shoved together an arrangement," Patrick said, as their first course arrived. "If all flowers have meanings, does that mean you match people to their flowers when you prepare the bouquets for their weddings?"
"Like an undertaker sizing them up for a coffin?" Phoebe said without thinking. "But that was what it was like, wasn't it?" "Honestly, though, most of the time it's just the flowers they like best, mostly roses and orchids, although I do try to slip a few other things in here and there to make it unique."
"What flower would you use to sum yourself up?"
She was surprised by the depth of his question. "You realize I could just make up anything here, right? Remember that I've just spent the day explaining flowers to you."
"True."
He leaned forward slightly.
"I'm willing to risk it."
If they were playing that game, what should she say? The orchid for beauty and refinement? That would probably make Patrick smile, and he'd already proved several times that evening that he had a gorgeous smile. Maybe one of the roses? But for some reason, she couldn't give him the offhand, meaningless answer. "Probably the pasque flower." It was the symbol sent to show that a lover had no claim on her. "Yes, perfect." When Patrick looked blank for a moment or two, Phoebe winced theatrically before saying, "Are you sure you aren't adopted?"
"RJ wonders that occasionally, too," he said.
And then,
"Tell me about the flower."
Why hadn't she just given him the playful answer? It was what she normally did with men, after all. Unfortunately, it seemed Patrick wasn't like any other man she'd been with. It blooms in spring and is a lovely light purple color. But that wasn't really what he was asking, was it? Some people, she continued softly, think it symbolizes freedom. Fortunately, just then, the waiter came back to clear their plates and take the rest of their order. Afterward, she was careful to steer the conversation clear of anything that had to do with her. Men, in her experience, loved to talk about themselves. So, how long does it usually take to build a home?
It can take months, Patrick said. But I'm not actually there for most of it. I take a few weeks to draw up the plans, and then I fly in to deal with any big issues the contractors have.
So you drift from place to place, always on the road, never settling down? Phoebe quite liked that image, particularly since it meant whatever brief fling she and Patrick were going to have wouldn't hurt either of them. They'd both just move on naturally, and that would be that.
I suppose so, he said, though I like to think of it as doing what I can to help out as many couples as possible with their dream homes. Plus, I always know my family will be there for me whenever I need to be brought back down to earth. They've always provided me with a sense of rootedness.
You know, she said, as their steaks arrived, and they dug into the perfectly prepared meat, this is the first dinner date in a long time that I've actually enjoyed.
It's been pretty fun from this side of the table, too, he said, with a look that made it clear exactly how much fun it had been.
She could practically feel his appreciation brushing across her skin. Still, she wanted to take the time to enjoy the rest of the date, rather than rushing Patrick home with her. There would be time enough for that. One of the best things about these brief flings was that they were intense. You know, Patrick, there's one thing I don't get.
What's that? He asked.
Well, you build homes for couples, and you're obviously deeply into marriage, commitment, and the rest of it. Yet you're here with me, rather than at home with a wife. Why hasn't some lucky girl snapped you up? Patrick grinned.
Lucky, huh?
Phoebe barely held back a snort of laughter. Now you're fishing for compliments. And avoiding the question, come on, if you're so into the joys of marriage, why isn't there a wedding ring on your finger already?
Maybe I just haven't met the right girl yet.
Patrick shot her a pointed look, full of humor, and something else, something bigger than she wanted to consider.
Though I'm not ruling you out just yet.
Phoebe flinched so hard she almost knocked her plate off the table, her enjoyment of the evening quickly fading away. How could he? The evening had been heading toward being a lot of fun for both of them, the start of exactly the kind of casual fling she preferred. Now, though, no. She couldn't stay. She reached into her bag for her cell phone and pressed the button for the app that made it ring. It had come in handy on previous dates when she'd wanted to leave before the guy was ready to let her go. But she hadn't thought she'd need to pull that with Patrick. Or rather, she had hoped she wouldn't need to use it with him. I'm sorry, I need to take this call, she told him after it rang, then put the phone to her ear. Mom? What is it? Where are you? She nodded, then said, Hold tight, I'll be right there.
Is everything okay?
Patrick asked when she put her phone back into her bag. Not really. At least that part was the truth. That was my mother. She's unexpectedly in town. She pushed her seat back and stood. I didn't get all the details, but I have to go. Patrick stood too.
Well, at least let me...
No, it's fine, she said quickly, even though it was anything but that. Needing to get out of there as quickly as she could, she said, You should finish dinner, and enjoy this view. Everything tasted great. Thanks, Patrick. The words tumbled out one after the other before she hurried away. Chapter 4 Patrick pulled into RJ's driveway, pausing to call Phoebe again. He wanted to make sure that she was okay after the abrupt way she'd left dinner, but she wasn't answering his calls. He'd circled the block around the park several times with his car to see if he could take her home, but there hadn't been any sign of her. She'd looked so nervous and guilty right before she'd left that he couldn't help but wonder if the whole thing about her mother had been an excuse. Had he been wrong to come on so strong? To not only take her to dinner tonight, but to also make it clear that he was looking for more from her? Yet Patrick knew he couldn't really have done anything else. He wasn't about to lie to Phoebe. He couldn't act as though one night together would be good enough. He wasn't that guy. He would never be that guy. RJ was sitting on the sofa watching the start of the football game.
"You've been gone a while. Was there a problem at the site?"
Patrick took the beer his brother offered.
"No problems. Everything went great."
With the property, anyway. He tried to get into the matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears, but it was hard to concentrate on anything but Phoebe, especially when he couldn't stop thinking about how soft, how sweet her mouth had looked as she told him about the language of flowers. It was all too easy to imagine what her lips would taste like pressed against his. Not that he'd get the chance at this rate.
"Are you kidding me?" RJ yelled at the screen. "That ref is blind."
Patrick was glad to be able to laugh at something.
"You're just upset because my team is winning."
"Your team?" his brother demanded.
"A little thing like moving to the other side of the country and suddenly you've switched teams?"
"At least when they're winning."
"Traitor."
They made it through to halftime, with RJ cursing every mistake the home team made, and Patrick making a point of cheering for the Bears as loudly as possible. After all, if you couldn't revel in the sporting misfortune of your sibling's favorite team, what could you do? For a little while, it was like being kids again, crowded into their parents' old home, with everyone sitting in front of the TV watching whatever big game was on. At halftime, RJ asked,
"Was Phoebe upset with me? I should have warned her that I might need her to step in to take a look at the landscaping for Rose and Donovan's property."
Patrick caught his brother's slight twitch when he mentioned the eminent plastic surgeon's name.
"No, she wasn't upset. Although we both were surprised you'd decided you couldn't help."
RJ shrugged.
"I had a lot to do this afternoon."
Patrick was pretty sure his brother could have had his work done at the Rose Chalet in no time flat if he needed to. Not to mention the fact that the owner, Rose, seemed perfectly happy to let him off the hook for a few hours to take a look at her property. But rather than giving Patrick the chance to ask any further questions, RJ got up off the couch to grab a new bag of chips from the kitchen.
"You hungry?"
he said, as a clear subject changer.
"I could throw some burgers on the grill."
"No, I ate. I took Phoebe out to dinner."
His brother raised an eyebrow.
"Just as a thank you for helping out, right?"
Patrick frowned, even though that was precisely the reason he'd given Phoebe to try to convince her to spend the evening with him.
"No, more as a date."
"A date?
Why are you so surprised?"
Patrick asked, a little more hotly than he needed to.
"It's not you. It's just that Phoebe's not exactly a relationship kind of girl."
"What is that supposed to mean?"
Patrick demanded, immediately taking offense at his brother's offhand judgment.
"I thought Phoebe was your friend."
"Take it easy."
"So you can keep insulting her?"
"I don't think so."
RJ shook his head.
"I'm not insulting her. All I'm saying is that Phoebe isn't the settling down type. Just don't expect too much, okay?"
"Are you actually telling me you've never been tempted to ask Phoebe out on a date yourself?"
RJ looked shocked by his question.
"What? No, no way."
"Oh, come on. I know that our taste in women isn't all that different. You must have thought about it.
RJ shook his head. That's not how things work at the Rose Chalet.
Why? Patrick asked. Have you all taken vows of celibacy?
His brother smiled.
No, I'm pretty sure that wasn't in our employment contract. It's just that we've all been working together so long that we think of one another more like family than anything.
Really?
Patrick asked before he could stop himself.
What about Rose, then?
RJ looked at him sharply.
Especially Rose.
Patrick suddenly realized why RJ hadn't wanted to work on Rose and Donovan's house plans. At least one thing was coming clear tonight.
Are we going to sit here arguing? RJ asked. Or are we going to watch the second half?
Patrick took the second beer his brother handed him and forced himself to sit back and watch Chicago claim their victory, though there wasn't a lot of pleasure in it by then. How could RJ think that Phoebe wasn't ever going to respond to a guy who was looking for more than a one-night stand? And even if that really was the case, did it matter? Patrick already knew he couldn't give up on the chance to be with her, just because she put up walls around herself to keep other people out. He would just have to find a way past them. Then he would build what lay between them slowly and carefully, until it was something that could really last. Fortunately, he thought, with his first real smile since she'd walked out on him at dinner, if there was one thing he was good at, it was building things that lasted. Chapter 5. Phoebe paid the taxi driver, then began to make her way up the stairs of her apartment building. All she wanted was to get to the other side of her front door, so that she could shut out a world where guys like Patrick Knight thought it was perfectly acceptable to start talking about marriage on a first date. First and last date. There was no way she was ever going near Patrick again romantically. He might be gorgeous and fun to be around, but there were plenty of guys like him out there. Well, maybe not quite as good-looking or as easy to be with as Patrick, but at least they wouldn't go around demanding more than Phoebe was willing to give. She turned a corner and almost walked into a neighbor, a guy she had seen coming out of an apartment downstairs a couple of times.
"I'm glad I ran into you," he said. "I've been meaning to introduce myself."
He held out his hand.
"I'm Jack. My girlfriend and I live in 1F.
"Phoebe." She shook his hand. "It's nice to meet you." She was already starting up the stairs when he said,
"Listen, we're planning to throw a party in a few weeks to celebrate getting engaged, and we thought it would be nice to invite everyone from the building. We figured it was a good excuse to finally meet the neighbors. We'd love to see you there."
"Congratulations," she said. "And then, I often work weekends, but once you know the date, let me know and I'll check to see if I can make it." She hoped she wasn't being too rude for not prolonging the conversation, but all she could concentrate on just then was a long bath and vegging out in front of the TV with a glass of wine. But for some reason, the combination of engagement parties and her day looking at Rose's property with Patrick had her needing to push back a strange longing for a house and garden of her own to putter in. Didn't all her friends with houses and yards always tell her how lucky she was, not to have to deal with the upkeep a house demanded? And didn't they always marvel at how she managed to live virtually clutter-free? Phoebe had never seen much point in weighing herself down with stuff, with two exceptions. The first was the collection of clothes that had long since outgrown the available closet space, and now occupied stylish racks stationed along the side wall. The other came in the form of the potted plants dotting every surface. She loved the fact that plants didn't demand anything beyond a little water and some light to grow in. All in all, Phoebe's apartment was the perfect space for her to remind herself why she didn't need anyone making things, "Hi, sweetie," difficult.
"Mom?"
Phoebe thought back to the excuse she'd given Patrick
One little white lie about her mother being at her apartment needing help. And now, here she was, probably let in by the super, if Phoebe had to make a guess. Even by Karma's standards, that was quick. Angela Davis was in her 50s, and people tended to say that if women ended up looking like their mothers, Phoebe was going to be very lucky indeed. Her mother exuded a sense of elegance, from the tips of her manicured nails to her perfectly applied makeup. But a few cracks showed in the facade, the smudges in her mother's eye makeup, and the suitcase perched next to the sofa, pushed back slightly so that Phoebe wouldn't have seen it immediately if she hadn't been looking for it. "Hello, honey. It's so good to see you." Her mother enveloped her in a hug that immediately took Phoebe back to being 5 years old, and sitting in the warmth of her mother's lap, enveloped in the floral scent Estée Lauder had created out of tuberose and gardenia. "You too, Mom," she said, already counting down the seconds until... "So, you're still in this place," her mother said, as she pulled back and looked around dismissively. "You have a good job, Phoebe. You could do so much better for yourself than this." "I like my apartment, Mom." "Really?" her mother asked, as if that couldn't possibly be in the realm of possibility. "But if you had a house instead, then you might have civilized things like a spare room for your mother to stay in when she comes over. In fact, if you had bought when the market was at its lowest, then I'd be stuck with a huge debt that would tie me down." But Phoebe's mother wasn't listening. Instead, she was moving to run her fingers over the leaf of a flourishing pink flowering bromeliad in the corner of the room. That particular love was one thing they had in common. About the only thing, it seemed sometimes, which was why Phoebe knew her mother hadn't just dropped by for a visit. After all, they'd been through this enough times by now, hadn't they? She hated to see her mother's face fall and her shoulders hunch as she dropped the leaf from her fingertips and sat back on the couch. "David left me." Phoebe's chest clenched. It was so difficult seeing her mother like this. Phoebe never knew what to say, and when she did, she never felt as if it was the right thing, or what her mother wanted to hear. She sat next to her mother and took her hand. "He left you? Just like that?" "He said he wanted to be happy." Her mother was tearing up now, and Phoebe reached for the box of tissues on the end table. "I thought we were happy. We had just celebrated our one-year anniversary." A year was practically a lifetime based on the standards of her mother's relationships. Why anyone would invest so much of themselves in something so brief, Phoebe didn't know. She just knew that her mother kept on doing it, and every time it went wrong. Every single time. She would end up here, and they would have the same conversation they'd had so many times before. Her mother was struggling hard not to cry, which meant that any minute now she was going to try to distract herself from her emotions by, "You know, honey, if you are going to live in an apartment, you could at least make it look a bit nicer, especially with so many great furnishing stores here in San Francisco." Phoebe pulled her hand back from her mother's. "I like my apartment." She gestured to the kitchen window. "Look at how well the orchids are doing in this light." "The flowers look good," her mother agreed, "but the rest of it..." Phoebe stood. She loved her mother, of course she did. But on the days when she showed up needing somewhere to stay after a bad breakup, it could sometimes be quite hard to remember all the reasons why. "I'll go get some sheets and things to make up the couch as a bed. You can take my room." "Thank you, honey. It won't be for too long, I promise." After helping her with the sheets, her mother sat on the couch and gave her the look Phoebe dreaded as she patted the seat next to her. "Are you dating anyone?" Phoebe felt her cheeks grow hot as she shook her head. "No." But she could be, couldn't she? If she hadn't freaked out over dinner, she could still be out on a lovely date with Patrick. and he might even be kissing her by now.
Oh, the thought of being kissed by that sinfully gorgeous mouth.
Make sure you don't end up like me, Phoebe, her mother said in a hollow voice. That's why I worry about you so much. I know you think you have all the time in the world, but trust me, the years move past you faster and faster every year. You don't want to end up alone. Her mother paused a beat before asking, Do you hear anything from your father these days, Phoebe? Beyond frustrated with how her night had gone, Phoebe barely held it in check as she said, Mom, can we once, just once, not do this?
Not do what?
Her mother actually looked surprised by Phoebe's question. Could she really not remember the way things always went when she broke up with someone? Then again, maybe she couldn't. Maybe that was what let her keep going around and around, making the same mistakes. It would explain a lot. But the trouble was that Phoebe could remember. She could remember far too well. You're going to ask how Dad's doing, if he's seeing anyone, and if he ever talks about you anymore. Then you'll go over the whole divorce and...
I was married to him, Phoebe. That creates a connection that lasts forever, even if the marriage doesn't.
Phoebe knew she should leave the room before she said anything she might end up regretting.
It's been a long day, Mom. I'm sorry, but I'm really tired and dirty. I'm going to take a bath and then tuck myself into bed on the couch.
Frankly, she thought, as she sank into a tub of steaming water a few minutes later, the only good thing to come out of the evening was that her mother's latest breakup had made it very, very clear how smart she'd been to stop Patrick in his romantic tracks. She picked up the soap and washcloth and began to clean the dirt from her hands and feet. But no matter how hard she scrubbed, she couldn't clear away the unwanted longings within her. Longings not just for a house and garden, but for a man to share them with. A man who would love her unconditionally. A man she could trust. A man who made her heart pound too fast as he held her in his arms. A man who looked and sounded an awful lot like Patrick Knight. Chapter 6 Phoebe got to work early the next morning and found RJ in the main room of the Rose Chalet, working to put up a facade based on Tara from Gone with the Wind. Marge Banning wanted them to turn the whole of the Rose Chalet into a reconstruction of the old plantation house. Phoebe had never been able to understand why Marge Banning had opted to recreate Gone with the Wind for her big day, especially given that the story ended with Scarlett not getting the man she wanted.
"Is everything going to plan?" Phoebe asked RJ.
The supporting frame was almost up, but she could see there was still plenty of work to be done.
It'll take a while, but I'll get there just like last time.
That was one good thing about the three-peats' wedding plans. They already knew exactly what would work and what wouldn't, so it was mostly just a question of trying to replicate what they had done last time.
By the way, there are a few gladiolas that have just bloomed.
He grinned.
Do you think you can persuade Marge Banning to try something new?
Of course, I have to try, Phoebe said. Though I'll probably have better luck trying to stop the tide coming in. Besides, I suspect Rose will kill me if I convince Marge to change her wedding plans. RJ frowned at the mention of their boss's name and returned to work. Phoebe moved away before he could remember to ask her about Rose and Donovan's landscaping plans. Talking about the house would mean talking about Patrick. And after the way things had ended last night, it would be more than a little awkward to discuss one brother with another. Hadn't she known better than to say yes to dinner with RJ's brother? She'd known it would cause problems when things went wrong. Thankfully, though, for the moment at least, RJ seemed no more inclined than Phoebe to talk about the house or what she thought about his brother. She headed out into the gardens of the chalet, looking around to see which flowers were available. That was one of the best things about working where she did. The Rose Chalet gave her the garden she could never have living in an apartment. Between this garden and the small greenhouse hidden at the rear of the wedding venue, and her contacts in San Francisco's flower markets, she could generally find what she wanted when it came to wedding flowers. If only men were that easy. Phoebe forced the thought away as she checked on the gladiolas. They were, as R.J. had said, perfectly in bloom. Phoebe cut one carefully, taking a moment to savor the scent. Gladiolas symbolized love at first sight. There was, she told herself firmly, absolutely no reason for that thought to make her chest twinge as she set out to go see Rose in the other corner of the garden. Her boss was going over a couple of papers as she sat at a table in the sunlight. Since even Rose couldn't find that much to organize in Marge Banning's repeat wedding, Phoebe guessed she was working on either her new house or on her own personal wedding plans. Rose looked up with a smile as she approached. "Oh, Phoebe, I'm glad you're here. I've been wanting to thank you again for going to check out the property with Patrick. It really means a lot to me that you took the day to work with him on it." "It was my pleasure," Phoebe said. As the lone non-romantic in the business, she'd learned to put on a good face with Rose, and she definitely didn't want her boss thinking there was any funny business going on with RJ's brother. Especially after what had happened not long ago with Julie, their former in-house caterer, and her new boyfriend. "I was hoping I could ask you for another favor. There are just such a lot of things to consider with the house, and Donovan asked me if I could get away from work for a few hours today. Would you mind holding down the fort when Marge comes in to go over any last-minute details?"
"Sure. I'm happy to do whatever you need me to do."
"Great." Rose handed her Marge's wedding information binder.
"Oh, and Phoebe?"
"Yes?"
"The gladiolas are beautiful, but don't try changing the bouquets."
Phoebe couldn't help but laugh out loud as Rose walked away. Even when her boss was busy with other things, she still seemed to have eyes in the back of her head. Just as Phoebe's own mother always had. Before she had time to dwell on what her mother might be getting up to, alone in the apartment all day, with no one to entertain her, Marge Banning showed up in a Lexus hybrid, looking as excited as she had the first time she'd gotten married at the chalet. She smiled at Phoebe with genuine warmth.
"It's great to see you again, Phoebe."
"You too, Marge. Rose was called away, so it's just us today." She looked behind Marge. "Unless you brought the lucky guy with you?"
"You know I don't like to have them around for this part," Marge said with a wave of her hand. "They'd only go around suggesting things, and a girl's wedding, well, it should be all hers, don't you think?"
Fortunately, Phoebe knew an answer wasn't expected. "Should we head inside now so that you can check out the displays?"
"I'd like that," Marge said.
The sound of hammering came from the main room, and she happily clasped her hands together.
"Is Tara going up?"
Phoebe nodded. "Everything will be ready in plenty of time for your wedding, I promise."
"I know it will be," Marge said. "I've seen the finished product, but I haven't had the chance to see Tara being built. Could we go inside and take a look?"
As Phoebe walked with Marge into the chalet's main hall, they discussed a few timing issues for the ceremony. RJ was still hammering away, and Tice was there too, moving his sound system into the right spot while occasionally stopping to make notes. And then Patrick unexpectedly walked in, carrying a stack of lumber over one shoulder, and Phoebe's heart immediately started racing. This explained how RJ had been able to get so much done. He was getting help from his brother. Patrick wasn't wearing a shirt while he worked, leaving Phoebe to stare at the lean, well-defined muscles of his chest. It took her a second or two before she could snap out of it.
"My friend at the flower market says the roses will be in perfect bloom for your wedding day," she told Marge in a voice that was far too loud.
"That's wonderful, Phoebe," Marge said. But even though she sounded happy about it,
and despite Rose's warning to stick with the plan, Phoebe couldn't help at least trying to suggest something else.
"Are you sure you don't want me to come up with something new for this wedding? There are so many other flowers in bloom this time of year, truly lovely ones."
"I'm sure there are," the other woman said, "but the arrangements you made last time were perfect." As if she could tell Phoebe was disappointed, she added, "You know what they say, don't you? Third time's the charm."
Marge looked past her, and Phoebe followed her gaze to where Patrick was still working shirtless.
"Though a girl can't help but think about making a fourth time for a man who looks like that."
Architects were supposed to sit at desks all day, drawing things, thought Phoebe. They should not have bodies like that.
"Hello, Phoebe, Mrs. Banning,"
Tice said, as he moved past them to rig up the sound system on the other side of the wall.
Phoebe forced her gaze from Patrick to Tice. The Rose Chalet's music director was definitely handsome, but he never made Phoebe's stomach do somersaults.
"Oh, come on, Tice," Marge said. "We must surely know one another well enough that you can call me Marge now."
He raised his eyebrows and gave her his patented heartbreaker look.
"In that case, it's very nice to see you again, Marge."
"Hmm," Marge said softly, as she watched him walk from the room. "It's a wonder you managed to get anything done around here with so many good-looking men around. And it's even more of a wonder that you don't have a ring on your finger."
"Married?" Phoebe choked. "I'm not even dating anyone."
"You must have the self-control of a saint."
Marge smiled a smile that said a lot about how she acquired 3 husbands. Well, almost 3.
"That, or you just haven't noticed the way the gorgeous one with his shirt off is staring at you."
Phoebe glanced around quickly, but by that point, Patrick wasn't looking at her anymore. Was the whole world conspiring to try to get them together? And the idea of Marge Banning giving her advice on love and marriage?
"Marge, can I ask you something?"
When the woman nodded, Phoebe took a breath and asked the question she'd been wanting an answer for since Marge's second wedding. Even if it meant Rose might kill her, she had to know.
"Why do you do this?"
"Do what?" Marge asked, cocking her head to the side.
"The weddings. Going through it all again and again, the same way every time. Especially if it didn't work the last 2 times.
Unexpectedly, Marge smiled.
"I do it the same way because the details don't really matter. And I like them like this. All you really need is a man, a woman, and that feeling."
"What feeling?"
Marge put a hand over Phoebe's.
"Trust me, you'll know it when you feel it."
That was the kind of romantic nonsense she would normally have scoffed at, yet she couldn't speak her mind when it was a client saying it to her. Although, at present, there was another much more important reason why she didn't say anything. A reason that had a lot to do with what she felt every time she glanced at Patrick. Were the butterflies flying around and around in her stomach at the thought of being in Patrick's arms what Marge meant? And if so, had she just been hit by Marge's feeling?
Chapter 7. Patrick hefted his length of lumber, fitted it into place on the side of the elaborate structure taking shape in the Rose Chalet's main room. He held it steady while his brother hammered it into place. He tried to concentrate on the job at hand, looking at what he was doing rather than staring at Phoebe, but it was far from easy. She looked stunning today. Simply stunning. Just as always. Patrick didn't care to make a secret of how he felt about her, but if one little joke could send her running off, what would openly staring at her do? Better to at least pretend to be focused on helping RJ, even if Patrick had been the one to volunteer to do it, simply to have the chance of seeing Phoebe again. If she wouldn't take his calls, what other option did he have if he wanted to see her?
"You'd better move your thumb out of the way," RJ said,
unless you want it to become part of the chalet's new look.
His brother made a pointed sound.
Are you listening, Patrick?
Patrick managed to hold focus long enough to help get the next few pieces of wood attached. He'd always enjoyed building projects, but, as an architect, he rarely had a chance to do hard physical labor. As much as he loved his job, there was something about sweating over putting something together with his own hands that could never be replaced. It was why he was so active, hiking and swimming and boating whenever he had the chance.
"Thanks for your help, but I can get the rest," RJ said. "Why don't you go take a shower out in the back?"
Patrick followed RJ's directions around to the rear of the building. He took his time using the shower, trying and failing to stop himself from imagining what it would be like if Phoebe were there with him. Patrick had to turn the tap completely cold before finally stepping out and getting dressed again. He knew he could have gotten together with her for one night, but one night, a quick, sexy fling, wasn't what he wanted. He didn't just want to get to know her body better. He wanted to learn the secrets of her heart, too. Patrick made his way back to the Rose Chalet's main room, hoping the client had left so that he could get a chance to speak with Phoebe. But even though the bride-to-be was no longer in the room, the woman he couldn't get out of his head was standing there, in the middle of a conversation with the music director.
"Are you going to be dancing at Marge's wedding the way you did at the last one, Phoebe?" Tice was asking her.
"Why?" Phoebe asked, a flirtatious lilt to her voice. "Are you planning on joining me, Tice?"
"Is that an invitation?"
She laughed and said, "You know, Tice, that sound system of yours just keeps getting bigger. Does any of it actually do anything, or is it all just there to compensate for something?"
"Agree to dance with me, and you'll find out."
"So I'll never know the answer, then?" she said, before leaving the room and heading for the garden. Beside Patrick, RJ smiled as he reached for a drill.
"See what I mean? One big happy family."
"Really?" It didn't feel like the kind of family banter Patrick was used to. No, what he had just witnessed was more like straightforward flirting. A burst of jealousy ran through Patrick, and heat flashed along his skin. Phoebe deserved more than flirting with some guy she worked with. She deserved a man who could sweep her off her feet. She deserved romance. Real romance. Forever, rather than a string of meaningless one-night stands.
"Hey," RJ said, "if you're heading back out to Rose's property, could you pick up a few things at the nursery for our volunteer project tomorrow?"
Along with a couple dozen other people, RJ and Patrick had volunteered to do some upkeep in Golden Gate Park's overgrown areas. It was just the sort of thing their family had done together when they were kids. Just like that, Patrick was hit with an idea for a date that could be a whole lot more fun than sitting around in a restaurant, making small talk until he said the wrong thing. Knowing there was no time like the present, he made his way over to where Phoebe was clipping a few roses from the garden.
"Hello, Phoebe."
Her cheeks were flushed as she looked up at him. Would he ever get used to how beautiful she was? "Hi, Patrick." She bit her lip. "I'm sorry I had to leave so suddenly last night. Good thing my building manager had already let my mother in by the time I got home." He worked to mask his surprise that her mother's arrival hadn't just been an excuse. Still, Patrick had the feeling that she'd been only too happy to leave the outdoor restaurant, and him, last evening.
"Is she doing okay?"
"I hope so. Her latest relationship didn't work out, and..." She cut herself off and ran a hand through her hair before forcing a smile onto her face. "I began to write up some ideas for Rose's landscaping plans last night. I'll try to get them to you in a couple of days, if that's all right?"
"That's fine, thanks," he said,
not wanting to talk business with her right now.
"RJ's volunteer gardening group is landscaping part of Golden Gate Park, and I was wondering if you'd like to come help out tomorrow."
That wary look was back in her eyes. So this would be you and me?
And about 30 other people, he said quickly. It's a worthwhile project, and we could really use your skills. Having someone who really knows what she's doing with plants could make all the difference.
Phoebe hesitated, and he resisted the urge to push her any harder to get her to agree. Doing that would just give her more of a reason to back away. On impulse, he reached down to pick up a lone gladiola that was lying on the grass between them and handed it to her.
I hope to see you there.
Chapter 8
Phoebe stood in front of the mirror in her bedroom, trying to pick out the right thing to wear for the gardening project. She wanted to look good, but she needed something different from her regular work clothes. Working on a few well-maintained flower beds at the chalet, and hacking through overgrown shrubs to reclaim an untamed section of parkland, were two very different things. Of course, it shouldn't matter how she looked today, now that Patrick seemed to have finally gotten her "Let's just be friends" message. After all, no one in the history of the world had ever recommended a day of hard manual labor as a technique of seduction. It was about the least romantic idea for a date that Phoebe could think of. And maybe that was the point. Maybe this was Patrick's way of making it clear that he could work with her without romance intruding on everything. Maybe he really did want to be buddies with her the way his brother was. As she pushed back the disappointment at the thought of only being buddies with Patrick, at least it made picking out clothes a little easier. Jeans and a dark sweater wouldn't show too much dirt. After putting on some boots, she checked her watch and saw that she'd have to hurry if she wanted to make it to the park on time. Just as she was gathering her tote and keys, she heard a familiar voice. "Where are you going?" her mom asked. "I've come over to visit, and I've barely seen you." Phoebe paused, trying to find the right word for what Patrick was to her. "Friend from work asked me to help out with a volunteer gardening project." "Gardening? That sounds lovely." Her mother looked so hopeful for a moment, and it was such a nice change from the lost, forlorn expression that had been all but etched into her face since the previous night, that Phoebe suddenly found herself saying, "Mom, how would you like to come out with me today?"
"Are you sure?"
"Absolutely. I don't think it's healthy for you to sit around here in my apartment all day. You should be out doing things, having fun." "I don't know," her mother began. But Phoebe wasn't about to give her the chance to come up with an excuse. Instead, she pulled her mother up by the hand. "You'll enjoy it, I promise." Angela probably would, too. Her mother enjoyed gardening almost as much as Phoebe. She would just make a point of keeping her away from the more backbreaking parts of the landscaping project. "I guess it would be nice to do something together," her mother admitted. She looked around at Phoebe's apartment. "And to get out of this place. Really, dear, maybe we should spend the afternoon visiting realtors, or..." "Come on, Mom." And with that, they locked up the apartment and headed down to the parking garage. Phoebe had already put a few basic supplies in the trunk of her car, so they didn't need to do anything beyond driving over to Golden Gate Park. Her mother was quite subdued as Phoebe drove, but at least she wasn't talking about how badly the men in her life had let her down. Not wanting her mother to be too surprised by the work that awaited them, Phoebe said, "We're actually going to be spending the afternoon helping a local gardening group clear some of Golden Gate Park." "We're going to be pulling up weeds?" Her mother sighed. "Well, I suppose that's all right. I remember when I was little, you'd take me around the garden," Phoebe said, "showing me which were plants and which were weeds. I had my own watering can, but you'd only let me help with the planting if I was very careful. That watering can was nearly as big as you were, but you'd take it everywhere." Her mother sounded lost in the past. "As I recall, I had to stop you watering the cat. You wanted to see if that would make it grow." Seeing the reflection of her mother's features in the windshield,
Phoebe caught the barest hint of a smile. Thank God. Phoebe parked the car, then went around to the trunk. She'd brought gardening gloves, trowels, and a few other things she normally used to keep the Rose Chalet's flowers looking their best for the upcoming weddings. Thankfully, she had a spare pair of gloves to lend her mother, though to Phoebe's surprise, she turned that offer away. "If I'm going to be elbow deep in dirt," her mother said, "I might as well do it properly and get some dirt under my fingernails." There were groups of people working to weed flower beds and trim back trees. Other teams were building retaining walls to prevent erosion on the banks of the elevated ground. Work was also being done to thin out some of the wilder scrub. Everyone seemed to be working in an organized way, but there didn't seem to be much indication as to who was in charge of the organizing. There was a small tent set up over to one side, but that was obviously intended for the volunteers to relax in after they were done working. There was no sign of a group leader over there, either. It was only when she looked over the gardens for a second time that Phoebe spotted Patrick helping with one of the low retaining walls. It made sense that he wasn't anywhere near the plants. She headed over with her mom in tow. "Hi, Patrick. This is my mother, Angela."
"It's nice to meet you," Patrick said.
"You too, Patrick." Her mother looked from him to Phoebe, then raised her eyebrows, which Phoebe prayed he didn't notice as she asked, "Where do you want us?" Although with the way Patrick's muscles stood out against his shirt, Phoebe couldn't make up her mind whether it would be better to work next to him or as far away as possible. He smiled at her, that gorgeous smile that turned her insides to goo every time.
"Let me check with RJ to see who needs extra help the most. I'll be back in a minute."
Phoebe watched him leave. So did her mother. Angela gave Phoebe a pointed look. "I'm suddenly starting to understand why coming out here to help was such a big deal for you." Phoebe frowned. "It's not a big deal. I'm just here to volunteer." "Oh, come on, honey. I'm your mother. I know you better than anybody. It's obvious that you like him. And why wouldn't you?" Angela added with an appreciative sigh. "He's gorgeous." Phoebe thought briefly about arguing, but there didn't seem to be much point. Lately, no one seemed to believe that she wasn't interested in Patrick. Why should her mother be any different? Chapter 9.
"Phoebe's just arrived," Patrick informed his brother. "And she brought her mother, Angela. Where do you want them?"
"The flower garden," RJ said. "If anyone can make sense of the mess in there, Phoebe can. Unless you think she's needed somewhere else."
"No, I think that makes sense for the two of them. Does that old palm tree stump next to the flower garden still need digging up?"
RJ looked at him with obvious surprise.
"Are you offering to do it? I was thinking of leaving that one. It's going to be back-breaking work, you know."
Patrick shrugged. "You've got it under control here, so I might as well handle that."
Although his brother clearly thought he was nuts, he said, "If you're offering, that would help a lot. Thanks." No, Patrick thought, he should be thanking his brother for a tailor-made excuse to spend the afternoon just yards away from Phoebe. When he went back to them and relayed RJ's assignments, Phoebe looked surprisingly happy at the amount of manual labor she'd just been given. Her mother looked less enthusiastic, especially when they reached the gardens, which were every bit as bad as RJ had suggested.
"It's like a jungle in here," Phoebe said.
"Yes," Angela agreed. "We won't exactly be wandering around with a watering can, will we?" her mother said, clearly taken aback. Patrick watched Phoebe pull back her shoulder blades and stare down the unruly garden. "Well, at least we'll know we made a difference today." She smiled at him. "Thanks for showing us what we're doing. I guess you'd better get back to the walls."
"You won't be getting rid of me that easily, I'm afraid," Patrick said.
He nodded to the old tree stump in the middle of the garden. It was gnarled and dark with age, obviously rock solid.
That's my project for the afternoon.
Oh, boy, Angela said. Those things have roots like iron. Patrick could barely take his eyes off Phoebe to reply to her mother.
I've often heard it said that nothing worth doing comes easy.
Yes, well, occasionally you put in all that work and still get nothing out of it, Phoebe pointed out. But then stopped and glanced across at her mother. We should probably let Patrick get to work, Mom. It looks like he has a lot to do, and so do we. What Phoebe said was true. First, he had to dig around the stump, find the roots, and remove them with an axe before chopping down the remaining stump to a movable size. Even then, he'd probably need RJ's help with the final removal. The sooner he got started on it, the sooner he'd be finished, so he went and fetched a shovel. By the time he got back with his tools, Phoebe and her mother had already set to work putting the garden into some kind of order. Phoebe worked her way methodically along the rows, separating the weeds from those plants that could still be salvaged. She worked with a straightforward determination that Patrick greatly admired. He set to work on getting the stump out, and it was every bit as hard as both RJ and Phoebe's mother had predicted it would be. Pretty soon, sweat was pouring from him as he worked his way around the roots. But it was all worth it, because he not only got to watch Phoebe working with her mother, he was also close enough to hear them chatting.
I'd forgotten what hard work this was, Phoebe's mother said. Are you sure we used to enjoy it that much?
Phoebe laughed. Oh, yes, she said in a deadpan voice. We loved it. Only instead of laughing with her, Phoebe's mother picked up a plant her daughter had put into the compost heap and stuck it back in the ground.
Those aren't weeds, honey. They're perfectly good gardenias.
I know, but they're dying. Phoebe removed the plant again. It's better to get them out now and get it over with, so that there's room for something to really flourish. Her mother's face fell. Maybe all they need is a little loving attention, rather than being tossed in the nearest trash container. Her mother took the trowel from Phoebe's hand. And it would be better if you held it like this.
Phoebe pressed her lips together. Patrick was almost certain she was counting to 10 before speaking, just as he sometimes had to do with difficult clients.
You know I do this for a living, right, Mom? Phoebe said, in a voice so soft that Patrick more read her lips than heard the words. That doesn't mean that you know everything, dear. Besides, maybe if you spent a little less time working and a little more time getting out to meet some suitable young men, then you would spend your days off doing something other than more gardening. Patrick clenched his teeth at the idea of Phoebe meeting any suitable young men. She'd already met one, thank you very much.
I've told you before, Phoebe said, in a voice that was a whole lot more relaxed than it should have been.
I like my life, Mom. Patrick had to admire her self-control. It seemed clear to him that her mother wasn't trying to be unpleasant, but that surely couldn't make it any easier for Phoebe. If this was something that she had to deal with on a regular basis, then no wonder she was careful about letting people in. Looking at the pair of them, he could guess an awful lot about Phoebe's childhood, with a mother who was often disappointed and broken up by the loss of the men in her life. But instead of that sudden insight making Patrick want to back off, he only admired Phoebe more, and it only made him believe all the more strongly that if anyone deserved some real romance in her life, it was Phoebe. Patrick wasn't sure how he was going to do it yet. The walls Phoebe had set up around herself seemed as solid as the tree stump he was working on, but he was determined to get through to her. Besides, he'd always thrived on challenges. When Patrick finally looked up from his hard work, he was amazed by the transformation of the garden under Phoebe's hands.
He could hardly believe it was the same overgrown wilderness they had started with. Looking back at the remains of the stump, he considered calling over his brother for help. But then he had a better idea.
Phoebe, Angela, would you give me a hand with this?
Sure, Phoebe said, as she and her mother headed over to help. What do you need? There were so many possible answers to that question, starting with a simple you and going from there. For now, though, Patrick settled for pointing to the remains of the tree.
I'd love to get some help getting this into the wheelbarrow.
Phoebe didn't hesitate. So many of the women he'd been out with would have hated the idea of doing hard manual labor. Most wouldn't have stayed for an hour. But she was only too happy to help at one side of the stump while Patrick got the other. Even Angela didn't balk for too long, and he suddenly realized where Phoebe got her strength. Angela wasn't an easy woman, perhaps, but in the end, she was a survivor. Between the three of them, they managed to lift what was left of the tree stump into the wheelbarrow. As Patrick wheeled it away, he stole a glance back and saw Phoebe smiling over at her mother. It was obvious how much Angela mattered to her, but then that had been obvious all afternoon. And what a lucky woman Angela was to be loved by Phoebe. Chapter 10. By the end of the day, Phoebe was so exhausted that she felt as if she could sleep for a week. Looking around and seeing the difference she and her mother had made to the flower garden made it easy to realize it had been worth the effort.
So, Patrick asked, coming back from getting rid of the last of the tree stump, did you have fun today?
Phoebe was surprised to find that she had. It had been fun spending the afternoon doing something worthwhile, even if it had taken a lot of effort. Maybe because it had taken so much effort. I did, she said with a small smile, suddenly feeling shy around Patrick.
How about you, Angela?
Just as long as I don't have to do it all over again tomorrow, her mother replied. But she was smiling too. Phoebe hadn't seen many smiles from her mom since she'd showed up at her apartment. Clearly, an afternoon out in the fresh air had done her some good. That, or time around Patrick. She had been impressed with the way Patrick had persuaded her mother to help, coaxing her into assisting with the remains of the tree. He'd made a real effort, but he hadn't intruded. It would have been easy to make things worse for her mom.
RJ tells me there is a small party for the volunteers over by the tent. It would be great if you could both come after putting in so much effort today.
We'd love to, wouldn't we, Phoebe? Her mother said, before Phoebe could make up an excuse to leave. Knowing there wasn't much of a chance of stopping her mother now, she settled for putting away her gardening gear in the car before she headed over to the tent. Patrick did the same, walking over to his brother's waiting truck with the axe and the shovel he'd been using.
Will she be okay? He asked.
Oh, she'll be fine, she said. Even though the truth was, her mother had never been able to hold her liquor, which was made worse by the fact that she thought she could. Knowing it wouldn't look good if she sprinted over to check on her mother, Phoebe briskly walked across the lawn, glad for her hiking boots. In the tent, the volunteers were enjoying themselves with barbecue chicken and drinks from a couple of large coolers. RJ intercepted them.
Thanks for coming out today. You've made a real difference to that flower garden.
It wasn't just me, Phoebe said, looking past RJ to see if she could spot her mother.
Your mom seems great, by the way.
Phoebe tried to smile. She is great, thanks. Have you seen her? RJ turned to look for Angela.
She was just here a second ago. Is everything okay?
What could she do but nod?
Sure. Why don't you relax and have something to eat, he said.
And before she knew it, she found herself eating a barbecue chicken sandwich, while caught up in a conversation with a couple who were in the middle of landscaping their own garden, and had heard she was a plant expert.
"What kind of flowers would you recommend for a deer-tolerant yard?" the woman asked. "We keep trying things that people have recommended, but they don't always do that well." "Honestly, the best advice I can give you is to take a look in your neighbor's gardens. 9 times out of 10, what works has as much to do with the soil and the general location as anything else." A few minutes later, she spotted Patrick at the entrance to the tent, waving her over. "Sorry," she said. "I think I'm needed." She hurried over to Patrick, who looked worried. "What's wrong?"
"I've found your mother."
"It's bad?" Patrick didn't reply immediately.
"I think you should come and look."
He led the way outside, around to the back of the marquee. There, Phoebe's mother was sitting on the grass, a bottle of champagne in her hand. It was nearly empty. She looked up as they approached.
"There you are. I thought you'd run off, Patrick."
"I just went to get Phoebe, Angela."
"I wouldn't have blamed you if you had left me here," she continued. "Men are always running off on me. It's like there's something wrong with me."
"No, there isn't," Patrick said as they got closer.
Very gently, he took the champagne bottle out of her hand and put it aside. Phoebe moved to kneel beside her mother, who looked more stricken by the second.
"What kind of example am I...
She paused for a moment, as though trying to remember the word.
"Setting?"
Phoebe hooked an arm under her mother's. "Let's get you home."
"I don't have a home anymore. Not since me and your father split up."
She was crying now.
"Here," Patrick said. "Let me."
He lifted her mother easily, carrying her over to Phoebe's car and helping her into the back seat before sliding into the passenger seat.
"What are you doing?"
Phoebe asked.
"You'll need help getting her to your apartment."
She didn't bother to argue with him, not when the thought of trying to carry her mother up the long flight of stairs made Phoebe 100 times more tired than she already was. "Thanks," she said at last, and started to drive. When they reached her apartment, Patrick helped her mother out of the car, wrapping her arm around his shoulders to support her.
"I've made such a mess of things," her mother murmured, as they got to the door and Phoebe unlocked it.
Knowing Angela wouldn't remember their conversation in the morning, Phoebe murmured something comforting as she tried to help her inside. But in the end, Patrick just picked her mother up completely.
"Nice apartment," he said with a nod to the flowers and plants occupying every surface. "Where should I take Angela?"
"Right through here."
She led the way to her bedroom, trying not to think about how differently this might have gone with Patrick the other night if it had been just the two of them. Patrick laid her mother down on the bed, and Angela crooned, "It's been years since a strong young man carried me to bed." Phoebe winced. Apparently, her mother was determined to be as embarrassing as possible tonight. Angela immediately curled an arm around the extra pillow and held on tight to it.
"I love you, Callie."
"I love you too, Mom." As she headed back out into the living room with Patrick, he admired the flowers again before saying,
"You obviously believe in bringing your work home with you."
He paused.
"Callie?"
She'd been hoping Patrick wouldn't pick up on that. She should have known better. He noticed everything. Especially the things she didn't want anyone to see.
"It's my middle name."
"Phoebe Callie Davis."
Phoebe moved over to the sofa and sat next to the pile of folded sheets. She might as well get comfortable. It was where she was going to be spending the night again, after all. "It's short for Caledonia. It's a type of orchid." Patrick sat next to her, and Phoebe wasn't sure how she felt about having him that close. No, that was a lie. She was very sure how she felt about him being so close. Far too good for her peace of mind.
"Caledonia," he repeated,
and she loved the way it sounded when he said it.
It's a very beautiful name. You got your love of flowers from your mother, didn't you?
Phoebe nodded, swallowing hard at the lump in her throat that had grown bigger and bigger as he became kinder and kinder. She loves orchids. The Caledonia orchid is her favorite. When I was a kid, she used to try to grow them because she said they were the most beautiful of all the orchids, the most precious. It was the same thing she'd always said about Phoebe. You're my beautiful, precious little girl, Callie. It's one of the things she used to let me help with, but it never worked that well.
You have such a green thumb that I take it the flower is hard to grow.
Almost impossible. The roots are too easily displaced. You have to care for it more than almost any other flower. Why was she fighting back tears? She never cried. Never. The crazy thing is, regardless of how much time you put in, it still dies after a couple of years.
It must be a very beautiful flower for people to want to put in all that work,
Patrick said softly.
A small miracle.
Phoebe nodded. It is. The one time they'd been able to get one to grow, her mother had said just that same thing. It's a miracle, sweetie. Right here in front of us. Let's appreciate every second of its bloom. Oh, God. She was going to cry. No, she couldn't. Not now. Not tonight. And definitely not in front of Patrick. There are other beautiful flowers out there, she made herself say. Why put in all that effort waiting for a miracle when the odds are it probably won't happen?
Because sometimes the rewards are worth the risk,
Patrick said so gently, so sweetly. She almost felt as if the words were more of a caress than anything else.
Even if the odds aren't great, they're still so much better than if we never take a risk at all.
He was silent for a few seconds after that, and Phoebe half expected him to lean across and kiss her, to finally make the move that she was sure he had wanted to make all day. Yet, Patrick didn't close that gap. Instead, he stood.
I'm glad we got your mother back safely, and I hope you enjoyed the day in the park. Good night, Phoebe.
He left then, shutting the door behind him, leaving Phoebe to stare after him, trying to make sense of her very confusing feelings for Patrick Knight. Chapter 11 Phoebe woke to the sound of her phone ringing. What time was it? And what was she doing on her couch? It took a moment for the memories of the previous day to seep in. At the same time, her phone kept ringing, leaving her scrambling to locate it. She finally found it under one of the cushions on the couch. How exactly it had gotten there, she didn't know. The number on the screen was for Lisa Harding, a local florist Phoebe occasionally ran into down at the flower market. They often met for coffee to catch up on flower business gossip. Lisa had even helped to source a couple of unusual blooms for Phoebe. She had some friends who liked to grow the rarer species in their greenhouses.
Hi, Phoebe. I've just had an order in for a bouquet, and I thought I should probably let you know.
Phoebe frowned slightly. Why?
It's to be sent to your address.
Before Phoebe could push past her surprise to respond in any way, the woman said,
It's one of my best arrangements.
Phoebe's heart fluttered with something that felt too much like hope. Moving over to the small kitchen area of her apartment, she tucked the phone under her ear and started making coffee, a strong brew that would help her wake up and get her head back on straight. The morning would definitely look better after coffee. And her mother would undoubtedly need it, too. Patrick knew exactly how she felt about flower deliveries. So why had he done this? Phoebe took a deep breath, then let it out slowly before asking, Do you mind if I come by your shop in a bit?
Sure, but don't you even want to know who ordered it?
I can guess.
There was silence on the other end of the line, and Phoebe figured her friend was confused by her reaction to the news. And rightly so. Most people loved getting flowers. Phoebe might have, too. If only they didn't mean what she was afraid they meant. "Lisa," she asked before they disconnected, "if you wouldn't mind, could you not start on it until I get there?" Phoebe had been so sure the other day that Patrick understood how they stood, that he'd finally decided just to be a good friend to her. The whole day yesterday had been about as far from a date as it was possible to get. Then, when he'd helped to bring her mother in, and he'd had an opportunity for a kiss that no guy would have ever passed up, he just left. And now he was sending her flowers? Phoebe quickly showered and dressed without waking her mother, leaving her a note saying she was heading in to work. Then Phoebe set out for Lisa's flower shop. It was a tiny place wedged between a small boutique and a store selling furniture. The shop had a small front room tastefully put together with a few flower arrangements next to a couple of awards. Bouquets from Lisa didn't come cheap, which made it all the more worrying that Patrick had ordered one for her. Lisa smiled as Phoebe came in. "Actually, I'm glad you're here since I've been wondering about the message on the card." Her friend hunted behind the counter for a moment, then handed Phoebe a card that read, "It's not every day I get to carry a woman home. I hope you're feeling better." Relief and disappointment warred with each other as she told her friend, "These flowers aren't for me. They're for my mother." She was glad that Patrick intended to send flowers to her mother rather than her. It was incredibly sweet of him. Not a lot of guys would do that. And yet, for a moment, Phoebe had almost felt as if he was going to push past her walls, no matter what, by giving her a bouquet of flowers, whether she wanted them or not. "Lisa, would it be all right with you if I put this one together?" "Sure, why not? I have the original order and the design sheets are here somewhere. Everything you need is through the back." The back room of the shop was quite a bit larger than the front room, consisting of an office table off to the side, a big table in the middle, and boxes of flowers stacked neatly around the walls. There were spools of ribbon, pieces of cane, and myriad other decorations that might be needed as part of an arrangement. Phoebe put the plans for the bouquet down on the table and looked through them. It had been a while since she had worked from someone else's plan, but Lisa took extremely detailed notes when taking down an order, so that made things easy. "Orchids," Phoebe read aloud, heading over to the boxes. Lisa had drawn a diagram with suggestions of colors. Of course Patrick had opted for orchids, given that they were her mother's favorite flower. She laid out the orchids she'd chosen on the table, going back for the other elements of the bouquet one by one as she started to piece it together. As she did so, she thought about the way her mother had always had an orchid blooming in the house when Phoebe was a child. Angela had been so beautiful then, so happy. Of course, her mother hadn't actually changed that much since those days. When she was happy, at least, she was still an incredibly beautiful woman. As Phoebe assembled the arrangement Patrick had ordered, she had to admit it was breathtaking. For a man who didn't know much about flowers, he had done a good job of picking out the perfect elements for it. Phoebe wove them together, a stray memory coming to her of the way her mother had taken the time to weave her hair into elaborate braids and intricate knots when she was a teenager. She took a step back when she finished with the bouquet, the reds, yellow, and whites of the orchids leaping out at her. For once, it didn't matter that it would wilt in a couple of days. It was enough that, for the moment at least, Patrick had made a gesture that would undoubtedly bring a smile back to her mother's face. Phoebe took the bouquet out to Lisa to show her. The florist looked at it admiringly before saying, "It's a good one, isn't it? And it's for your mother? Now, whatever did she do to deserve that?" "I think Patrick wants to cheer her up. She's been a bit upset." She smiled at her friend.
Thanks for letting me put the bouquet together. I'll let you take care of the delivery. It had been a strangely cathartic experience. You know, Phoebe, Lisa said in that voice people used to offer advice they knew you didn't want to hear. If it were me, I'd hold on to a man who did something like this, who cared enough about you to care about your family, too. Lisa's words played on repeat in Phoebe's head as she drove to the Rose Chalet. Chapter 12. Arriving for his meeting with Rose and Donovan, Patrick realized the Rose Chalet was the quietest he'd ever seen it. He looked around for Phoebe's car, but there was no sign of it. Had she stayed home to take care of her mother? Donovan McIntyre's Porsche was instantly recognizable, however, which meant that the plastic surgeon was probably looking at his watch and thinking about the clients Patrick was keeping him from. He collected the roll of plans from the passenger seat and headed inside the chalet, where he found his brother installing a spotlight.
Are you going to need a hand with anything when I'm done?
RJ shook his head, frowning as he looked in the direction of Rose's office.
Did you know Rose built this place so people could have somewhere small and intimate for their weddings? Rose is a very impressive woman, Patrick said to his brother,
wondering as he did so if they had both been hit with some sort of knight brother curse of falling for women who didn't want anything to do with them. RJ's jaw flexed.
Yes, she is.
He turned back to the spotlight. You should probably get to your meeting. Rose was in the office, sitting at the side of her desk, her deep red hair tied back. Donovan was sitting in her usual seat, behind the desk, wearing a suit Patrick knew cost a fortune. Patrick had to admit they looked great together, and he couldn't help but wonder how he and Phoebe would look as a couple. He was dragged out of that thought as Donovan's bronzed features rearranged themselves into a smile as he said, "Let's get the ball rolling." Rose's smile was much wider than her husband-to-be's.
"Good morning, Patrick. Are those the plans?"
Patrick began to unroll them on the office table, stopping halfway to move aside a vase of flowers so that he could spread the plans all the way out. Had Phoebe put together the arrangement? And if so, what had she been thinking about as she did so? They were lovely, a spray of purple flowers against a background of white roses, and Patrick wished he knew more about the language of flowers, if only for the possibility of a glimpse into Phoebe's emotions. For her, he would memorize an encyclopedia of flowers and their meanings. Donovan cleared his throat, and Patrick worked to refocus as he went over the preliminary drawings with them.
This will be the entrance hall opening into the living room, with access through to the kitchen area here. It's designed so that the spaces aren't cut off from one another.
He paused to give his clients time to look over the drawings. Donovan mused, looking over the plans. 4 bedrooms seems like too many.
4 bedrooms is fairly standard for a family home.
What kind of home might he have with Phoebe if she let him into her life? Looking down at the plans, Patrick started to mentally redraw them, adjusting lines and reassigning rooms, and even adding an atrium, which he'd always liked in a house. It was so easy to see how their dream home would work. As before, Donovan interrupted his thoughts.
"Rose and I are both very busy people. If we don't have children, we won't need the extra rooms."
Not seeing the stricken look on Rose's face at his mention of not having children, Donovan continued.
"I think we should move the office upstairs and join it with what would have been one of the bedrooms to create a large study and library."
Patrick had done this enough times to know how to carefully say, "That space would certainly work as a library, but it wouldn't be a very cozy room." Donovan frowned.
"We're not going for cozy, are we, Rose?"
Rose paused for several beats before finally saying, "A large library would be lovely." Patrick looked from Donovan to Rose,
on the verge of suggesting a compromise, when the office door opened and RJ came in.
"Sorry to interrupt," RJ said. "There's a problem with the lights, Rose."
"Can't it wait?" Donovan asked him, in a tone that wasn't entirely friendly.
"There seems to be some issue with the sequencing. I won't be able to get the rest of the rig up until we've worked out how we want to deal with it."
"I'm sorry," Rose said as she stood. "Can we finish with the plans in a few minutes once the lighting situation is back under control?" Donovan stood. "I only had this brief window to meet today. I've got to get back to the clinic." He shook Patrick's hand, kissed Rose on the cheek, and nodded slightly to RJ as he took his leave. Rose and RJ were just heading out to deal with whatever had become so pressing with the lights that were no problem a short while earlier, when Phoebe walked in.
"Rose, could I?"
Suddenly realizing Patrick was in the room, her cheeks flushed and her question fell away. He was glad to have a moment to drink in her incredible beauty.
"I'm sorry, Phoebe," Rose said. "Can you hold that thought for a few minutes while I help RJ sort out the lighting?"
Phoebe looked more than a little nervous now that it was just the two of them in Rose's office. He wanted her to be comfortable enough around him to want to spend time with him, but right now, nerves were good, too. Women didn't flush like that around men without a reason.
"How's your mother doing?"
"She's a lot tougher than she looks," Phoebe said. "I'm sure she's already up and about, watering and talking to my plants."
He loved her small smile as she reached over, adjusting a few of the flowers in the vase on Rose's desk.
"Thanks for helping me get her home. I'm not sure I could have done it alone. And thanks, too, for inviting me to work at the park. It was a lot of fun."
Patrick had to grin at having found a woman who thought being knee-deep in cow manure was a good time.
"What could be more fun than back-breaking work?"
"Says the man who single-handedly tackled a tree stump," she teased back.
"But I wasn't single-handed," Patrick pointed out. "I had you and Angela to help me out."
"The flowers you sent her are beautiful, incidentally," Phoebe said softly. "Just what she's always loved."
"I hope she liked them."
Her cheeks flushed again, and he was this close to pulling her against him for a kiss when she said,
"Actually, as a thank you, I would love it if you..."
She broke off, her eyes widening at her slip. "I mean, we would love it if you came over to dinner tonight."
"I'd love to have dinner with you and your mother."
"Great. Will 7 o'clock work?"
He nodded, very careful not to say, "It's a date." Because if there was one phrase that would undoubtedly ruin things, that was it. Instead, he settled for a nod. Phoebe was quick to leave rather than stay and chat with him, but she had invited him to dinner. Okay, so her mother would be there too. But in some ways, that actually felt closer than the alternative. Anyone could do the traditional first date dinner, and Patrick guessed that Phoebe had done it more than a few times. But how many men had she invited back to her apartment for dinner with her family? That was definitely something to think about. Then again, he couldn't stop thinking about Phoebe if he wanted to.
Chapter 13.
"Mom, if you're feeling up to it, I would love some help with dinner," Phoebe called out from her kitchen.
An hour ago, when Phoebe had come home and seen that the bedroom door was still closed, she'd been happy enough to leave Angela B. while she got started on dinner. She'd settled on pasta with meatballs and homemade sauce. It wasn't hugely imaginative, but Phoebe was well aware what years of cooking for one had done to her culinary skills. No answer had come from the bedroom, and she had assumed her mother must be taking a nap. When the pasta sauce chose that moment to bubble up and spray all over her, Phoebe looked down at her splattered clothes and realized she'd need to quickly change before checking on her mother, just in case Patrick arrived early. Thanks to the racks of clothes taking up space between the plants, Phoebe only had to walk a few yards across the apartment to slip on a dark dress dotted with bright lilies She'd owned for ages, but had never found an excuse to wear. Not that spending an evening with Patrick should be an excuse for anything, Phoebe reminded herself. And then she hesitated. She didn't want him thinking that she'd dressed up just for him. Maybe she should change into something more casual before he... The chime of the doorbell cut off her indecision. She hurried over to get the door, looking back briefly to the flowers she'd put on the apartment's biggest table, so that Patrick could see how much her mother appreciated the gift. Even though it seemed that Angela hadn't been out of bed long enough to spend much time looking at them. Patrick looked gorgeous as he stood in her hallway. He handed her a potted iris bulb. In the language of flowers, iris meant friends, hope, and faith. If he had taken the time to look it up, and she was sure he had, which sentiment did he mean exactly?
I would have brought wine, but I wasn't sure whether that would be a good idea.
Good call, Phoebe said, glad that she didn't have to sidestep the issue of her mother for the very first time ever on a date. Come in.
You're looking great tonight.
She felt as if she could bask in the glow of his appreciation forever, which was what had her backing away from him instead. I'm just going to check on Mom. Could you keep an eye on the pasta sauce for a minute? Phoebe went over to her bedroom door and knocked. Patrick's here for dinner. When there was no answer again, she pushed open the door, more than a little worried now. If anything had happened to her mother while she was at work, she'd never forgive. The room was neat. Too neat. On top of the newly made bed, there was a note. Phoebe sat on the edge of the bed and picked it up, recognizing the elegant swirls of her mother's handwriting. Callie, I'm sorry about yesterday. I know I must have embarrassed you in front of your friend. There's good news, though. David called me and we talked. I think there might still be a chance with him. By the time you read this, I'll probably be back in Sacramento. Please don't worry about me. Everything is going to be fine. I can feel it. Love always, and my best to Patrick if you see him again, which I hope you will. Love, Mom. Phoebe read the whole thing through again, just to make sure it wasn't all some huge joke. It felt as if it should be, but at the same time, she knew it was exactly what her mother would do. And exactly the way she would do it. She stared at the note for several more seconds before putting it down and heading back to the kitchen. Without a word, she took out a couple of plates and served up the pasta. "Looks like it's just the two of us tonight," she said to Patrick, as she carried the plates over to the table and set them down.
"Is your mother still not feeling well?"
"She's fine." She tried to smile, but couldn't manage it. She's gone.
Gone?
Phoebe nodded. She left me a note telling me she's going to try to work things out with David after all. She found a bottle of wine, poured two glasses, then sat at the table with Patrick, who was very quiet as he watched her carefully. She picked up her fork and tried to force herself to take a bite, but it was another thing she couldn't manage just then.
Phoebe.
The way he said her name was too gentle, too kind. Hating the tears that were springing to her eyes, she said, "I just hate the way she keeps making the same mistakes. She went running back to him the moment he snapped his fingers."
"Maybe she thinks it's her best chance of being happy," Patrick suggested.
"Being happy?" Phoebe got up, moving away from the table. The flowers Patrick had sent her mother were still there, still beautiful, despite everything. Flowers had always been that for her, she suddenly realized. A balm to her soul no matter what else was happening. No matter how she was hurting. As a child, when her mother and father had split up, she'd spent hours in the garden. Planting, growing, healing. I wish that were the case. She'll go back to him. And then 6 months or a year down the line, things will fall apart again, and she'll be hurt by it.
And you'll be hurt by seeing her like that again, won't you?
Patrick added, moving to stand beside her. He put his hands on her shoulders, turning her gently to face him. In that moment, it occurred to her just how close he was.
I think Angela is being very brave.
You aren't the one who has to deal with her every time a relationship falls apart.
No, that's true. It's bad for you, Phoebe, I know. It must be worse for her. And yet she's still willing to take that risk. It's a hard thing, putting yourself out there for someone else.
Phoebe wanted to argue with that, but she couldn't think of a good comeback. She was too busy staring at Patrick, drinking in the feel of his strong hands on her shoulders, tracing every line of his features. She wasn't sure which of them began the kiss, but it was Patrick who took control of it. He kissed the way she had dreamed he would, with a sense of strength behind every movement of his mouth on hers. It wasn't the intensity of it that made Phoebe catch her breath. It was the intimacy of his kiss as he held her in his strong, warm arms. She pressed closer to him, tight against his body, kissing him back with all the fire she'd been trying to douse for days. Her hands moved to his shirt. She wasn't sure of much right then, but she was sure that she needed this from him. "Come through to the bedroom," Phoebe whispered. But Patrick stepped back, holding her at arm's length.
"I'd like nothing more right now than to be with you, Phoebe. But I want more than that."
Phoebe hesitated. Why did he have to break the mood like this? She bent her head over to the side to place a kiss on the inside of his wrist. "Can't we just enjoy the moment? If I want you and you want me..."
"That's the trouble, Phoebe," Patrick said, as he threaded his fingers through hers. "I do want you. All of you. And until you'll agree to give me more than just one night, I can't."
He leaned in and kissed her gently one last time.
"I just can't."
He slowly slid his fingers from hers, then headed for the door. By the time Phoebe had recovered enough from that second kiss and realized how perfect it had felt to have her hand in his, by the time she could think straight, he was already shutting the door behind him. Chapter 14. It was amazing how empty Phoebe's apartment felt the next morning. Her mother hadn't been there long, but the place suddenly seemed too quiet without her. Phoebe watered the plants before leaving. It was her day off from the chalet, and she'd thought she'd be spending it with her mother. Feeling a little at loose ends, Phoebe headed out of her apartment and almost ran into Jack, the neighbor she'd met on the stairs the other day, accompanied by a woman who had to be his fiancée. "Oh, hello," he said, smiling. "Nikki, this is Phoebe Davis, our upstairs neighbor." The woman with him was petite and pretty, with spiked blonde hair and blue eyes. "I've been looking forward to meeting you," Nikki said, offering her hand. "Do you think you'll be able to come to our party? It will be the last Friday night of the month." "I'd love that," Phoebe found herself saying, surprised to realize just how much she meant it. For so long, she'd kept herself apart from her neighbors. Now, she wondered, what were her reasons for insisting on making her apartment feel so temporary? Watching the happy couple walk away, hand in hand, Phoebe's thoughts slid to Patrick, and the way he'd held her hand when he told her he wanted more than just one night of passion. He'd looked so good, had kissed so well. If she closed her eyes, she could remember every moment of that kiss as if it were still happening. Phoebe bit her lip at that memory, savoring it as she got into her car. If only he'd wanted to go further, everything would have been so simple, so straightforward. She turned her relationship with Patrick around in her head for the 100th time. They'd only known each other a few days, admittedly an intense few days. But even so, could he really have been asking for some kind of commitment from her? Especially when he was due to go back to Chicago as soon as he was done with Rose and Donovan's house? Phoebe impulsively decided to head for Golden Gate Park to see how things were looking in the garden. She parked by a swing set full of children and mothers, and something twanged in her stomach as she remembered the freedom of swinging way up high, with her mother behind her to help her soar. Feeling the sun on her face, she headed over to the garden patch they'd all worked so hard on. It wasn't yet perfect. Not all the flowers were out in full bloom, and there were still gaps where they'd had to reseed spots of it. Still, the whole place looked a lot better than it had when they'd started. She, her mother, and Patrick had done that. Phoebe looked at the space where the old tree stump had been. It was bare, but they'd filled the hole with fresh soil, planted plenty of seeds, and already Phoebe could see a few hints of shoots trying to rise through the recently cleared earth. She gently made sure that the soil around them would support them, and went back to the car to get a bottle of water to pour around their roots. If only making things grow with people was as easy, as straightforward. Phoebe's thoughts circled back to Patrick once more. She'd been so careful until last night to keep a distance between them. Yet right now, all she knew was that she missed him, and wished he was here with her now to enjoy the garden. He was far too unrealistic about romance, but did that really matter when Phoebe, at least, knew better? Since every relationship had a built-in cutoff point, surely it couldn't hurt if she started dating Patrick with her eyes open, knowing that it wouldn't last. Could it? The answer to that came in the form of a memory, not of their kiss this time, or of how sweet and lovely it had been to hold his hand, but of dancing with Patrick at the Kyle wedding. He had held her close, and she'd felt so safe, so warm in the circle of his arms. She knelt to tuck soil back around a new root that had pulled loose, and as she did so, she could practically hear Patrick saying, "If you never take risks, you never get any rewards worth having." Wiping her hands clean, Phoebe got out her phone and punched in his number. "Hi, Patrick. Any chance I can steal you away from your work for a few hours?" "You do realize I wouldn't ever normally end up blindfolded this early on a date," Phoebe said, and then flushed slightly as she realized exactly what she'd implied. Thankfully, Patrick simply laughed. "Then I'm obviously a very lucky guy. Left a bit from there, and don't swing too hard." She adjusted her stance ever so slightly, swung the putter in her hands, and tapped the space in front of her where she hoped the golf ball was sitting. She felt the club connect, followed a few seconds later by a dull thunk. "It's in," Patrick said. Phoebe felt his hands brush her face as he pulled off her blindfold, and her skin tingled with electricity for a moment. She passed the miniature windmill to the hole beyond. Sure enough, her ball was sitting in it. "I did it, with your brilliant guidance." She couldn't help smiling at that. She stole a glance over at Patrick and caught him staring at her. "You know, one has to wonder about a man who thinks up blindfolded miniature golf as a date."
"What do you have to wonder?"
Phoebe cocked her head to one side. "Oh, I wonder all kinds of things when it comes to you." That was true, though she already had the answers to some questions, such as how he'd kiss, which was why she stole one from him right then and there. "I was going to take you somewhere fun today, but now you've managed twice to surprise me. I'm definitely going to have to come up with something to top this." Patrick grinned.
"If you think you can."
Phoebe simply smiled back, her mind already whirring with the possibilities. Patrick was a little surprised when they headed for Golden Gate Park a couple of days later. But even though they'd just been there together to work on the garden, he quickly realized there were things he hadn't seen. A good dozen of them, in fact. "I bet you don't get many bison in Chicago," Phoebe said, with a look that made it clear she'd guessed exactly what he'd been thinking up to that point.
"Not in the middle of a city park, no," Patrick admitted. "I'm impressed. I'm going to have to think of something good to top this one."
Phoebe smiled. "Good luck." The enclosure was huge, yet it still seemed barely big enough for some of the creatures within. Their shaggy fur moved in the breeze as they slumbered, or shifted around, as they hurried from one part of their home to another. Patrick and Phoebe watched the huge creatures from the sidewalk. When Patrick's hand brushed hers, Phoebe didn't pull away, and he allowed himself the pleasure of sliding their hands together. "Indoor skydiving?" she asked a few days later.
"Why not?"
Patrick replied, as if they were about to do the most normal thing in the world. With anyone else, she would have quickly listed a half-dozen reasons why this was not a good idea, from the baggy and shapeless jumpsuits to the fact that they were currently being blown around by a huge fan and might be bounced almost anywhere. But a few minutes later, as she was tossed around by the air currents, she was glad she didn't seem able to say no to Patrick, because she was enjoying herself more than she had ever believed possible. There was something utterly exhilarating about the air rushing past as she balanced in the upward flow, and it was strangely relaxing to have to give in and go along with that flow. Patrick turned out to be pretty good at it, too, floating there opposite her, almost perfectly still in the airstream. Somehow, Phoebe noted, he managed to look good even in a skydiving suit. He even reached out a couple of times to stop Phoebe drifting off out of that flow. They were just small touches. But just as it always was when they touched, there was something powerfully electric about their moments of contact. Patrick had been more than a little surprised when Phoebe took him to a cathedral the following evening, just as the sun was setting. It didn't seem like the kind of place for a date somehow. Yet when they went inside Grace Cathedral and he saw the labyrinth marked out on the floor, he understood. There was peace here, along with joy, and boundless love for everyone.
"I read about this on one of the tourist sites for the city," he told her, "but it's even more spectacular than they said it would be."
Phoebe looked pleased by his appreciation for the cathedral and the gardens. It seemed like a good place to come.
"You've done this before?"
She shook her head. "You know how when you live somewhere, you always tell yourself that you'll do these things, but you never actually get around to them?"
So I'm just the excuse," Patrick said,
as they began to make their way along the path of the labyrinth. Phoebe grinned at him and said, "A very good-looking excuse, though," before turning her focus back to the path of stone, with Patrick following close enough behind to take her hand in his. Phoebe had been wondering what Patrick would do to top their last outing. A few days later, they sat next to the bay's wave organ, eating tortillas while the collection of wave-powered pipes around them droned and groaned, whispered and whistled. Phoebe had to give him the credit he deserved. It was yet another place she had never gotten around to visiting, and another experience that was all the better for spending it with Patrick. If every day could be like the ones they'd shared recently, she might almost see how people could fall in love. It was just as well that Patrick was in town for a strictly limited time, or she might be in trouble. Even looking at him there with the sunset in the background was enough to make her chest clench with longing. An idea came to her, and she took hold of Patrick's arm. "Come on," she said.
"Where are we going?"
"You've supplied the dinner. I think it's only fair that I supply the movie. How's your singing voice?"
"My singing voice?"
Phoebe grinned at his confused expression. "You'll see." Patrick did his best to join in as a couple hundred people sang the words to The Sound of Music in the Castro Theater. It was by far the strangest experience he'd shared with Phoebe so far, and yet there was something immensely fun about joining in on a chorus with a group of complete strangers. The theater was crowded, which meant Phoebe was next to him, so close that she was leaning against his chest, her hair soft against his upper arm. Patrick savored their physical closeness, but he wanted more than that.
so much more. Phoebe was amazing. How many other women would have gone so far off the beaten path on a date? Not many, and certainly none as wholeheartedly as the beautiful woman beside him. When the movie ended and they spilled out into the street with the rest of the moviegoers, he was caught almost completely off guard when Phoebe said, "I've never had as much fun as I do with you."
"It's the same for me," he agreed.
And it was true. Every moment he spent with Phoebe was perfect. "Come back to my place," Phoebe said, so low that she barely breathed it.
"You're sure?"
Patrick said carefully, even though there was nothing he wanted more. Phoebe knew what he wanted, that he wasn't just after a quick fling, and he knew she wouldn't ask him unless she was feeling the same way. Her answer was another sweet kiss that rocked through him head to toe. They made it back to her apartment with the anticipation in the car hard to ignore. It was nearly impossible to sit still in the passenger seat when all she wanted to do was reach out and touch him, to start to unbutton his shirt. It was obvious that Patrick felt the same way, given the way he kept looking across at her, practically undressing her with his eyes. She didn't want to think too hard about the decision she was making, didn't want to face the fact that this wasn't just another one-night stand that didn't mean anything. Hand in hand, they made it up the stairs, with only a couple of pauses to kiss one another passionately, pressed against the rail and then the wall. "I'm pretty sure," Phoebe said as she unlocked her front door, "that tradition says I should pretend I'm inviting you in for coffee at this point." Patrick opened the door, pulled her inside, then pushed it shut. "I think," he said, as he bent to kiss her again, "we've already proved we're the kind of couple who don't do traditional dates." A long while later, Phoebe lay on her side, the covers of her bed drawn up around them both, drifting on the edge of sleep with a blissful smile. She could feel Patrick beside her, his strong muscles pressed firmly against her back as he held her close. She'd never done this before. Never taken a man to her house, never made love to him with more than just her body, and certainly had never been perfectly happy to drift off to sleep beside him, letting him stay the night. Yet with Patrick, it felt so simple, so obvious. Phoebe felt so happy, not just basking in the afterglow of what had been a frankly amazing couple of hours, but genuinely, truly happy. Briefly, she wondered if this was how people felt when they were in love. Patrick's fingertips brushed her hair aside, and his lips moved in to kiss her just below her ear. He pulled her closer, then settled in behind her to sleep. Utterly content for the first time in her life, she was drifting off to sleep when his softly spoken words landed straight in the center of her heart. "I love you." Chapter 15. Phoebe woke to the sound of someone cooking in her kitchen. Patrick. She put on a t-shirt and jeans and headed into the kitchen just as he was serving up a huge plate of pancakes, which he had sculpted into the shape of a skyscraper. Trust an architect to do that. Trust Patrick to do that. He turned as she entered the room and smiled.
"You're awake. Perfect. I made breakfast."
"I can see that." Phoebe happily sat and claimed some of the small mountain of pancakes for herself. "Did you have to come up with blueprints for a stack that high?"
"It's my signature architectural achievement," Patrick assured her as he joined her at the table and picked off some of the remaining pancakes. "Buildings will come and go, but people will always remember my refinements in the field of pancake engineering."
Phoebe laughed at that. She couldn't not laugh. She hadn't forgotten what he'd said just as she'd fallen asleep,
But right then, it was hard not to simply bask in what promised to be a wonderful morning. She knew that most people who said, "I love you," didn't hang around for long. But Patrick very definitely wasn't most people. And the most amazing thing of all was that just the sight of him sitting in her kitchen, his hair rumpled from sleep, dark bristles across his jaw as he smiled at her with an adoring look in his eyes, was almost enough to make Phoebe want to blurt, "I love you," right back at him.
"How did you sleep last night?"
he asked. "Great," Phoebe replied, with a smile she couldn't contain. "Better than great. This is nice, too. Really nice." And it was true. When she thought back to the previous night, she couldn't feel anything but happiness. And having breakfast with him now, she found herself wishing that even this moment would never end, wishing that every morning could be like this. Patrick understood her, the real her, not the version of Phoebe Davis that she often felt she needed to put on to make others happy. And with all that he'd done for her mother, he already knew her better than anyone else ever had. Even her friends didn't truly comprehend how things were with her mother. And now she had a great breakfast, memories of a great night, and a wonderful guy who had already proved that he wasn't the kind to run away. Yes, it definitely seemed safe to relax and enjoy the moment. Finally. Just then, Patrick's phone buzzed, and he frowned briefly as he read the message before putting it back into his pocket.
"I can't believe it's been 2 weeks already," he was saying when his phone buzzed again.
Phoebe felt everything go still inside her at his mention of the time since they'd met, the same amount of time that he'd been planning on spending in San Francisco before he left for Chicago again. For so long, she'd celebrated that end date to their relationship. But now she realized she'd spent the past week with Patrick trying to forget it. So when his phone went off a third time, Phoebe knew she had to ask, "Is something wrong?"
"No, it's nothing that can't be dealt with," Patrick assured her. "There are just a few complications with the job I have lined up after Rose and Donovan's house. I'll take care of it later today."
Tension knotted Phoebe's stomach, and she put down her latest forkful of pancake, untouched.
"What job?" "It's for a newly married couple up in Chicago," Patrick said lightly, as though it wasn't a big deal. "They're very nice, but I suspect they're also going to be a couple who have a hard time settling on what they want. They want me to fly out to take care of a few things. Honestly, it could be one of those jobs that takes forever. My assistant is texting me with the information for a flight back later today, actually. I shouldn't need to be there long, just for a few."
Phoebe couldn't listen to any more. She pushed her plate away and stood, stepping back from the table.
"Phoebe, what is it?"
She could feel the corners of her eyes stinging with the start of tears. But she wasn't going to cry. Not over a man. Not when she'd known how things would end all along. So then why did it feel as though she was heading straight for a dangerous tailspin? Patrick rose, began to move toward her.
"Phoebe, just tell me what's..."
"You're leaving for Chicago," she said in a wooden tone. "You're going to be there practically forever. You're leaving." She tried to keep her expression as blank as possible. She wasn't going to show him how much this part hurt.
"It's the 21st century, Phoebe," he said gently but firmly. "They have these amazing things called airplanes that mean I can travel back and forth from San Francisco to Chicago as often as I want to."
"Yes, but you won't want to come back," Phoebe said. "At first, maybe, you will, when everything is fresh and new. But then eventually you'll get caught up in whatever it is you're doing next. You'll forget all about our fling." She could see how much she was hurting Patrick with that word, just as much as he'd hurt her by saying, "I love you," and then planned his immediate escape.
"This isn't a fling, Phoebe. Not even close. Not to me, and I thought not for you either. Especially after yesterday.
How could you have said those words to me?
Her bleak question was barely above a whisper.
How could you?
And how could she have been stupid enough to believe it, even for 5 minutes? He reached for her, but she took a step back before he could make contact. Still, he said,
I told you I love you because I do, Phoebe.
He waited for her to reply, but there was a huge lump in her throat, and it was taking all her self-control not to break down sobbing, or worse, to ask him to hold her tight again, the way he had last night. When his arms came around her, she didn't have the strength to push him away.
From that first moment we danced, sweetheart, my heart has been yours.
He brushed his thumb across her cheek, and she realized there was wetness there.
I didn't tell you how I felt as a way to try to force you to say you feel the same way. I wouldn't do that to you. You know I wouldn't. But I can't keep holding inside what I feel for you any longer.
Phoebe had never been so confused, so torn in two, between what she wanted and her long-held beliefs about life and love.
What if, he whispered in her ear, the walls you've put up to protect yourself are only keeping out the very people who want to love you?
We've only known each other for 2 weeks, she protested, as she forced herself to step out of his arms. We hardly know anything about each other.
You know that I love you. That's all you really need to know, Phoebe. Everything else is just details.
Patrick shook his head, and it broke her heart to see the strong man she'd fallen for, despite herself, looking so miserable.
I've tried to change your mind, but I can't. You're too strong for that. The only one who can change your mind is you.
As he headed for the door, every cell in her body wanted to pull him back to her. He was halfway out the door when he turned back to face her.
Have you ever thought about why you chose to be a florist for weddings, Phoebe?
She was surprised enough by his strange question to reply, It was a good job.
But it could have been so much more than that, couldn't it?
It was the last thing he said before he closed the door behind him and walked out of her life. Chapter 16 Angela's house was a big space with great views out over Sacramento, and it was filled with expensive furnishings. When she arrived home, looking much happier than she had been when she'd been staying with Phoebe, she let out a small squeak, surprised by her unexpected visitor.
Phoebe?
David let me in, Phoebe said, her voice breaking on the final word. She'd told herself 100 times during the drive from San Francisco to Sacramento that she wasn't going to cry over some guy. Only Patrick wasn't just some guy. This was exactly the kind of emotion she'd worked so hard to keep from feeling. She'd seen this pain so many times in her mother and her girlfriends, and now it was bubbling away inside her as she struggled to manage it. But she couldn't stop. Not this time. Not when the full pain of breaking up with Patrick was sweeping over her like a tidal wave. All these years she'd told herself she didn't need anyone. What a huge lie that had been. Because when push came to shove, Phoebe had realized she didn't want to be alone. And then the memories of how loving her mother had been with her when she was a child came back to her in a rush. And it had seemed so obvious. If she just went to her mother, everything would be all right, wouldn't it?
Oh, honey, what happened?
Her mother sat beside her, putting an arm around her shoulders. Phoebe had always been the one comforting her mother, not the other way around. Now, though, she let her mother hold her while she began to cry.
You drove here like this? Her mother asked.
Phoebe nodded, not trusting herself to speak. She could barely remember the trip now. She'd made it, somehow. And the important thing was that she wasn't alone.
All right, Callie, her mother said.
Whatever it is that's wrong, I'm here for you, and you can stay with David and me as long as you need to. You haven't eaten, have you? Phoebe shook her head. Angela tucked a blanket around Phoebe's lap and dried her tears with the backs of her hands, just as she had when Phoebe was younger. I'm going to make us both something to eat. Over the past few years, Phoebe had been the one in the kitchen putting together a meal for her mother, grasping for a way to try to cheer her up. And yet, everything was backward today as she sat there on her mother's couch, trying to find some way through the knotted maze of pain tangled inside her, but failing utterly. Here, her mother said a short while later, putting a plate of pasta down in front of her. Eat. It will do you good. Phoebe shook her head.
I'm not sure I can, Mom. I feel...
How did she feel? How could she explain what it felt like, when the sheer heartache throbbing inside her was indescribable? I know, her mother said. Phoebe had the vague thought that it must be one of the reasons why she had come running to Sacramento. Her mother was the one person on the planet who would understand the raw anguish that came from losing Patrick, even if Phoebe didn't fully understand it herself yet. Eat, her mother insisted. You've always said it would make me feel better, and you were always right. Trust me, it will make you feel better. The meal her mother made her didn't do anything to make the hurt go away. The simplicity and normality of it seemed to ground her a little, helped her to think about something other than just how badly things had ended with Patrick. Not only how badly she'd ended them, but what he'd said about her needing to be the one to change her mind about love, if things were ever going to work between them. "Can you tell me what happened now?" her mother asked. "Is this about Patrick?"
"We decided to start dating, and then we split up."
Her mother took her hand. It's all right, Callie. I'm here for you now. Just tell me everything and together we'll work through it, I promise. We spent a lot of time together over the past 2 weeks. And then, yesterday, we went on the most amazing date. It was incredible. She took a shaky breath before saying,
He made me breakfast, Mom. No one's ever done that before. He even said...
Oh, God. It was hard to say the words aloud, even though she'd replayed them over and over, saying them 1,000 times in her head.
He said he loved me.
Oh, Callie, honey, if he loves you and you love... Phoebe had to cut her mother off before she could actually say it. But then he started talking about going back to Chicago for a long-term project, and we argued. Phoebe bit her lip, remembering the things she'd said, the way she'd thrown the word fling at him. It all went wrong, Mom, and now it just feels so bad. It's going to be okay, I promise. Phoebe shook her head. How could her mother say that when it felt as though nothing would ever be right again? It will be, her mother insisted. You'll get him back, and things will be fine again, you'll see. Just look at David and me. When I was at your apartment, I never would have thought that things would work out. But now... Well, our relationship isn't perfect yet, but we're working on it. You think I'm going to get back together with Patrick after being with him once made me feel like this? I know it hurts right now, but just think of how happy you were when you were together. You could be like that again. I could be like this again, Phoebe insisted, moving away from her mother on the couch. If I get back together with Patrick, then I'm just setting myself up for even worse heartbreak later. Her mother reached out for her, but Phoebe moved back again. You don't know that, honey. He seems like a lovely young man. I don't think he'd just abandon you. You didn't think Dad would walk out either. And look what happened there. Phoebe saw the hurt look on her mother's face, and she realized that she'd gone too far. Again. Just as she had with Patrick. Neither one of us has all the answers, her
her mother pointed out in a gentle voice.
They sat there for several seconds before her mother shook her head and said,
"You know, honey, sometimes I think I'm never going to understand you."
"Funny," Phoebe said, even though she definitely didn't find it the least bit humorous. "I was just thinking the same thing." How could they both be so different? How could her mother keep insisting that happiness was just the next man away? Those seemed like questions to which Phoebe would never have the answers. Yet she knew one thing. Relationships hurt no matter how you felt about them.
"I'm sorry, Mom," she said at last. "I shouldn't have brought up Dad."
"Well," her mother said softly, "I've never been the best of role models when it comes to relationships, have I?"
Perhaps she hadn't, but Phoebe finally understood that love didn't follow a strict list of rules and regulations. It happened whether you wanted it or not.
"You did your best," Phoebe said. "We both still got hurt, though, didn't we?"
Phoebe was only starting to realize that sometimes you couldn't help hurting people, even when you didn't want to, even when you cared about them. Especially when you cared about them.
"I'm sorry," she said again.
"I know. So am I." Her mother put an arm around her. "You see? Making up with someone isn't all that bad, is it?" Phoebe shook her head. Her mother was one thing, but Patrick was another. Her mother was family. She had a feeling it wouldn't be quite as easy with Patrick. He wasn't tied to her by blood, so what was to stop him walking away the way her father had? The way so many of the men her mother had dated had. Yet wasn't there something almost brave about that? Just as Patrick had once said, "Sometimes the rewards are worth the risk, and even if the odds aren't great, they're still so much better than if we never take a risk at all." Patrick had been perfectly honest with her from the start about the way he felt, and his belief that love was something to be cherished. It had seemed like such a foolish way to look at life, but now she finally understood that the alternatives weren't much better. Phoebe looked up, gazing out her mother's window at the city lights in the distance. It was getting dark, but for a moment or two, it seemed as if she could see things more clearly than she had for a long time. She impulsively hugged her mother.
"Thanks, Mom."
"For what?"
"For everything. For being there for me whenever I've needed you. For teaching me to love beauty and to cherish it."
"You're welcome, honey," her mother said. Phoebe thought she heard something catch in her mother's voice as she said it.
"Are you going to stay tonight?"
"Thanks, but I need to get back home."
"You're sure?"
Phoebe nodded.
"There's something I have to do."
Chapter 17.
By the time Phoebe arrived at the Rose Chalet early the next morning, things were well underway for Marge Banning's wedding that evening. RJ was setting out furniture. Tice was running through a last-minute sound check, though Phoebe didn't recall much punk being on Marge Banning's set list last time around. Rose was bustling around, fetching the linen for the tables, rushing over to the kitchen to make sure that the food was going well, and looking as if she was absolutely convinced that the whole thing was going to fall apart at any second. In other words, she was behaving exactly as she normally did on the morning of a wedding. "Where were you yesterday?" Rose asked when Phoebe walked in. "I thought you'd be here in the afternoon getting ready. Did you get my text messages?" Phoebe was too tired to come up with a good answer to that.
"Sacramento."
"Sacramento? What were you doing in Sacramento? Are you okay? You look like you've been up all night."
"I have."
Which was probably not the best thing to admit to her boss, even if it was Rose. She was no longer able to maintain the separation between her work and her personal life. Frankly, she wasn't sure that she wanted to anymore. She expected Rose to read her the riot act.
Instead, her boss simply put a hand on her arm. "I hope everything's okay." Phoebe felt those darn tears spring back up. She swallowed hard. "I hope it will be, too." She forced a trembling smile. "I've got a lot of work to do on the arrangements. Because Marge deserves the best wedding ever, don't you think?" Surprise gave way to a smile on Rose's face. "Yes," the other woman said. "She definitely does." Phoebe headed off to her workroom, where the flowers were waiting for her, thanks to RJ and her suppliers. She put her laptop down on the workbench, determined to concentrate on her centerpieces. But her heart wasn't in it. Not when she still hadn't managed to make any headway on the plan she'd made yesterday on the drive home. After she'd returned home from her mother's house, she'd spent hours making calls and sending out dozens of email queries to locate what she was looking for. But she hadn't found it yet. Even her friend Lisa hadn't been able to help. "I'm sorry, Phoebe," Lisa had said. "Can't we substitute something else?" "No," Phoebe had insisted. "There's a message in that particular flower." Turning away from the flowers in her chalet workroom, Phoebe opened up her laptop and started scouring the internet for florists she hadn't approached yet. Although at this point, even if she could find the flower, could anyone possibly deliver it on time? Finally, she located a man named Brian. On the phone, he said, "I'm sure someone mentioned something to me about them recently. The trouble is, I'm not sure if I can remember who exactly it was." "This is really important, and you're the first glimmer of hope I've had so far," she told him. "Please, if you could try your hardest to remember, it would mean so much to me."
"I've got your number, so if I think of it, I promise to let you know."
"Thank you. Thank you so much." Phoebe put the phone down and looked up just as Rose walked into the room with RJ. "Phoebe, I just wanted to check to make sure you had everything. Oh my God, you've barely even started. What have you been doing?" Rose was clearly working hard to keep it together in the face of all the work Phoebe obviously hadn't done on the centerpieces. "What's going on with you?" Frustration morphed to worry on Rose's face. "I've never seen you like this. You've always been so reliable, so steady. If something's wrong, you can tell me." But Phoebe didn't know how she could possibly explain about what had happened with Patrick, not with RJ right there behind Rose. Besides, she knew what everyone thought of her. Phoebe, who didn't have relationships. Phoebe, who never let herself be hurt by anyone or anything. And why did everyone think that? Because she'd worked very hard to make it true. Except that right now, it wasn't.
"How about if I help out with the arrangements?" RJ suggested. "Tice can take care of any issues with Tara. It'll be nice to see him do something other than strum that guitar of his on the day of a wedding."
He turned to Rose and added, "Phoebe covered for me when it came to the work on your house. The least I can do is help her out today." Rose finally nodded, although she clearly looked reluctant to leave Phoebe in such a state. "Just let me know if you need anything today, okay? Anything at all." Phoebe had to swallow past the lump in her throat. "Okay, thanks, Rose." Her boss hurried out, leaving Phoebe alone with RJ. He started picking out the flowers, looking them over.
"Do you have a design I can follow?"
She nodded and passed it over silently, not daring to speak. Not when all she wanted was to ask him how Patrick was doing since he'd returned to Chicago.
"So," RJ asked, "is this about what happened with Patrick?"
Her mouth opened in shock. "You know about that?"
"Of course I know. He's my brother. Even if he doesn't tell me everything, I still know how he felt about you."
She hesitated before asking, "And you're still helping me? I mean, shouldn't you hate me?"
"Of course not, Phoebe."
He shot a glance toward the door Rose had walked out through.
The truth is, we don't always get what we want, and no one can force two people to be happy together.
She didn't know what to say to that, not when Patrick was the one she should be talking to about this, not his brother. Fortunately, RJ seemed to understand, because he changed the subject.
We better get going with these arrangements, shouldn't we? At this rate, it will be a miracle if everything is ready in time for the wedding.
Miracles. They seemed to need a lot of them at the moment. It was definitely what they needed to get the arrangements for the wedding finished on time. And a miracle was almost certainly what it would take to fix things with Patrick after the way they'd argued. Unfortunately, as for the miracle of finding what she was looking for, the odds on that seemed to be getting longer by the second. The hours passed by in a blur as she and RJ worked as fast as their fingers would let them. And then, suddenly, her phone rang, causing her to drop a handful of roses onto the floor. She recognized the number, because it was the last one she'd called before Rose and RJ had walked in. She picked it up in breathless anticipation.
Brian?
Hello, Phoebe. I think I have just remembered where to find what you were looking for. Actually, it's slightly embarrassing that I didn't realize where I'd seen them before now. My sister grows them, only she doesn't sell them, so I'm not sure if it's really any help to you. I guess that's why it slipped my mind.
On any other day, Phoebe might have left it there and kept looking. But today? Well, if today wasn't a day for taking chances, then when was?
Could you give me her number? And if I can convince her to say yes, could you deal with the delivery side of things right away?
I guess so. Though I really must warn you that the odds of Jane handing over one of her precious blooms aren't good.
I'd like to try anyway, Phoebe told him, before hanging up, then dialing the number she'd just been given.
She introduced herself to the woman who answered and explained exactly what it was she wanted.
I'm sorry, Jane said on the other end of the phone, but my brother's right. I'm not a florist, and if I sell you one, then hundreds of other people will want them. Soon I won't have much of a garden left.
Please, Phoebe said, offering the woman the bulk of the contents of her last paycheck, enough that RJ's eyes widened from across the workbench.
Please, I can't take your money, especially not that much, Jane said. They really aren't for sale. You sound like a perfectly nice young woman, but I'm not here to fill flower orders for your customers.
This isn't for one of my customers, Phoebe pleaded. This is for me. Please, I'm running out of options, and this is the only way to make things right with a man that I...
She took a deep breath, feeling RJ's eyes on her.
That I love.
The other woman sighed. If you had said anything else, anything other than this flower being about love...
She paused, then said,
Let's call it $50, just to cover my brother's trouble.
I can have the flower? Phoebe felt hope finally spring to life inside her, light breaking through the darkness at last.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that man of yours. I hope he's worth it. Phoebe had never been more sure of anything in her life.
Oh, he is.
Chapter 18. Patrick's office was on the 17th floor of a building that he had helped to design, giving him a view of the Chicago skyline that was hard to match, as well as an address that attracted high-end clients. The office itself was spacious and open, with models of previous buildings placed strategically around the room on stands. His desk sat in the middle of the room, and was big enough for Patrick to work on blueprints by hand. His laptop was there, along with his desk phone, and the papers relating to his upcoming project. He was walking a slow circuit around the office, making his way around the models he'd built, looking for inspiration.
Lord knew he needed it, considering he hadn't been able to start work on the changes he needed to put in place for his new client's house. It should have been a simple matter of moving a couple of rooms, but he couldn't quite find the balance of the space. What, he wondered every few minutes, was Phoebe doing? She'd be working on the flowers for Marge Banning's wedding by now, wouldn't she? Patrick could easily picture her sorting through the blooms with a deft touch, frowning just slightly as she concentrated on making it as beautiful and meaningful a display as anyone could. Tice and RJ would be there too, all three of them joking around to lighten the mood, despite the pressure to put on another perfect wedding at the Rose Chalet. For what had to be the 100th time, Patrick pulled his phone out of his pocket and scanned through the address book for Phoebe's name, but his finger stopped short of making the call. She'd been so clear that they were over, and that she didn't want anything else from him. Patrick put the phone down, even though his instincts said that he shouldn't, that he should phone her, and that he shouldn't give up until she realized how good they were together. Only the unassailable truth was that a relationship took two people. However much he wanted what they could have had, it only worked if Phoebe wanted it as well. That thought was frustrating enough that Patrick barely realized he had a stack of papers crushed in his fist moments before he destroyed them. He forced himself to turn back to figuring out a way to make his new client's requirements work. He'd done it plenty of times before. It was just a case of focusing in on the kind of couple they were. And what about the kind of couple you and Phoebe would have made? Patrick tried with all his might to ignore that thought. But again and again, every time he tried to start work on the plans, all that came to mind were visions of Phoebe. Playing miniature golf blindfolded. Leading him through the labyrinth at Grace Cathedral. Kissing him for the very first time. Her softness as she lay against him when he'd told her that he loved her. And then the way she'd all but kicked him out of her apartment the next morning, as soon as he'd mentioned needing to work on a long-distance project. Knowing he had to think about something else if he was ever going to get any work done, he moved over to the window and looked out at Chicago. With any luck, the sight of the city would inspire him. It generally did, even if it was occasionally just by reminding him of what he'd done before. After all, he'd been part of the architectural team on several of the newer buildings he could see from his office. He let his gaze drift along the city's skyline, determined to come up with an answer this time. Briefly, his eyes flicked down to take in a restaurant just across the street from his office. A fancy French place that even he'd had trouble getting into. Patrick winced as he remembered that date. The woman he'd been with had been nice enough, but the whole occasion had been so stilted and formal that they'd never gotten to know a thing about one another. That relationship hadn't lasted long. Patrick shifted his gaze to where Wrigley Field sat, farther away, but was easily visible from so high up. That date had been even more disastrous. He had met her at an architectural awards show. It had just seemed so obvious at the time that they should date, since they were about the same age, working in the same field, and at least a little attracted to one another at the awards. Patrick had surprised her with two tickets to a Cubs game. It turned out that she didn't like baseball, or any sports at all, come to that. She hadn't liked nachos, or any of the other snacks that had seemed like such an essential part of the experience to Patrick. She'd even spent most of the game complaining that in a world that valued architects, they should be allowed to pull down places like this and redesign them properly. They hadn't gone on a second date. More memories of dating disasters came back to haunt him one by one. There had been the one where he had suggested indoor rock climbing and his date had pulled out. And then another where it had been obvious from the moment they'd sat together at a restaurant that they simply weren't right for one another. There had been others where things had started all right, then simply petered out, where the woman he'd been dating had seemed nice enough, but they simply hadn't clicked well enough to want to go to the next level. Whereas, in the short time he'd been with Phoebe, Patrick had gotten closer to her than to anyone else before. She'd loved doing crazy, offbeat things as much as he did. She was smart and strong, and caring enough that she'd been able to cope with her mother and the demands of her job at the chalet. If only she hadn't built up all those walls around herself to keep people out, they could... A knock came at his office door. He went over to open it and found a man in his 50s holding a long, slender box.
"Mr. Knight?"
"Yes, that's me."
"Oh, good," the man said, sounding incredibly relieved. "If you wouldn't mind signing to say that you received this, I'd be very thankful."
He pulled out a small notepad from his jacket pocket, and Patrick signed as he looked at the box, trying to work out what might be inside the plain white container.
"Do you know what this is?"
"I'm sorry, but the young lady asked me not to say anything. I can tell you that she went to a great deal of trouble over this, though. My sister normally doesn't let anyone have her..." "Well, that would spoil the surprise, wouldn't it? I suppose that there has to be some code of confidentiality for florists."
Florists? That word was enough that Patrick almost ripped the box open there and then.
"Enjoy,"
the man said, turning and leaving Patrick holding the box as he walked away. Patrick placed the box carefully on his desk, not caring if it smudged the plans beneath. He opened it slowly. There was a single flower within. It was electric blue above a slender stem, with four petals spread out in a semicircle around the front of the flower, and a fifth standing straight. The heart of the flower curled over in a mixture of yellow, darker purple, and a deep red-brown. The overall effect was that of fragile beauty, nearly translucent when Patrick held the flower up to the light coming through the window. There was no note, just the flower, and he knew Phoebe was using the language of flowers to tell him something very important. Praying it was what he thought it was, first he had to rule out what it wasn't. He'd looked up the meaning for the pask flower and knew what it meant and that it wasn't good. He went over to his computer, searching for images of flowers. He typed in pask flower, and when he saw the purple petal in the first picture that popped up on his screen, a moment of physical pain shot through him. But when he took a breath and looked at it more closely, however, he could see it simply wasn't the same as the flower that sat on his desk. Next to the flower Phoebe had sent him, the pask flower seemed ordinary and not nearly so beautiful. Patrick hardly dared to type the next words in, praying harder with every letter that appeared on his computer monitor. He sent the new search off and held his breath for the fraction of a second it took to come back with an answer. He reached out to lift the flower Phoebe had sent and held it next to the image on his screen, looking from one to the other, wanting to be sure. Only when he was absolutely certain that he had found the right flower did he stand again, walking over to the window holding Phoebe's flower. A Caledonia orchid. Cali. It was every bit as beautiful as Phoebe had said it was, and it was in full bloom, which meant miracles really did happen. Chapter 19. Nothing. How could there be nothing? Phoebe stared at her phone accusingly, praying for it to ring. But it remained still and cold in her hand, the way it had the previous 19 times she had checked it. "We're ready for the bouquet," Rose called out. Phoebe put the phone away. If Patrick was going to phone, he would have done it by now. She knew he'd received the flower, because Brian had called with the news of his successful delivery just as he was leaving Patrick's building. Looking up, Phoebe realized Marge Banning was standing a couple of feet away in her wedding dress. She looked amazing, like a woman in love whose every dream was coming true.
Phoebe carefully picked up the bouquet she'd put together for Marge. Roses, exactly the same as last time. Yet today they looked fresh and bright. They went perfectly with the wedding dress. And, if Phoebe didn't know better, she would have sworn that Anne had secretly made some changes to it. Today, it looked truly perfect on Marge. As Phoebe handed her the bouquet, she said, "You look beautiful." Marge was normally a good-looking woman, but today she shone with happiness, and that only made her more beautiful. Phoebe had never before believed that brides could be radiant, but tonight that was the only word to describe her.
"Thank you," Marge said softly. "It's amazing what being in love will do for you."
"Good luck," Phoebe said.
"You know what?"
Marge said, with a smile that only made her look more radiant.
"I don't think luck is going to come into it this time."
On the other side of the doors to the Rose Chalet's main room, Tice and the string quartet he was directing struck up the wedding march. Phoebe concentrated on pinning the ribbon from the bouquet to the dress.
"There," she said to Marge. "Perfect."
The other woman studied her for a second or two.
"You know, Phoebe, there's something different about you today."
Phoebe felt those darn tears she'd had so much trouble with lately rise up again, and she shook her head.
"There is," she admitted.
"But today is about you, not me. Are you ready to go in?" For the first time, Marge actually looked a little nervous. Phoebe put a hand on her shoulder, searching for the right thing to say. Fortunately, it didn't take long to find it.
"Third time's a charm, remember?"
She opened the door for Marge, giving them both a clear view down the aisle to where RJ's recreation of Tara stood. Phoebe had to admit, it was impressive today with the guests gathered around. The flower arrangements at the end of each row and on the tables were stunning, even if RJ had put together at least half of them in the end. The guests all looked as if they were enjoying themselves, even though most of them had been to the first two weddings as well. The groom waiting on the deck was a good-looking man, distinguished and fit. But right then, his looks weren't what mattered. All that mattered was the way he looked back at Marge standing there, and the way she looked at him. With pure love. They both looked so nervous and so happy as Marge made her way down the aisle. Phoebe knew that she ought to be feeling cynical about their chances, given Marge's track record. But she couldn't. Not this time. Not now that she knew what it felt like to be head over heels in love.
"You're braver than I am, Marge," she whispered.
And luckier, apparently, because there were still no messages or texts on her phone. On silence now, so she wouldn't interrupt the ceremony. Usually, she disappeared at this point and went back to clean up her work. It was the best way to avoid as much of the wedding as possible. But today, she found that she wanted to watch, wanted to be a part of two people making vows of forever to each other. All at once, Patrick's parting question came back to her.
"Have you ever thought about why you chose to be a florist for weddings, Phoebe?"
Oh, my God, she thought, as she stumbled back from the doorway and braced herself against the wall. Patrick, amazingly, knew her so well that he'd figured her out long before she had. All these years she'd rationalized being a romantic cynic at the Rose Chalet by telling herself the job had been better paying, with better hours, than most florist jobs. And there was the added bonus of not being tied down by running her own shop. But now, finally, she realized what the real reason was. Phoebe had taken the job at the Rose Chalet because she'd been secretly hoping the day would come when she could find a reason to believe in love. It had taken a long time, but she'd finally found that reason. In Patrick Knight. If only she'd realized it before it was too late. "Oh, God," she prayed. "Maybe it wasn't too late." As Marge and her groom began to say their simple vows,
Phoebe remembered a very wise bride telling her that when you had found the right man, the actual details weren't important. Love was all that mattered. Tears streamed down Phoebe's face as Marge and her new husband kissed. She never cried at weddings. But then, she never normally cried. But today was different. Out on the small stage at the side, Tice started up the music again, and Phoebe gently slid the doors closed. In a minute or two, she would have to help with the reception. But for now, it was all she could do to try to dry her tears. She was surprised when a hand touched her shoulder.
"Would you like to dance?"
Phoebe turned and saw Patrick standing close, looking at her with an impossibly sweet, heartfelt expression that wasn't hard to read. After all, she'd seen it on two different faces just a moment ago. He was also holding a primrose. "I can't live without you. Eternal love." Both were the commonly accepted meanings for a primrose in the language of flowers. At first, she was so stunned she simply didn't know what to do. And then, at long last, she did. She kissed him, with all the love in her heart.
"Is that a yes?"
he asked, when they finally broke apart from one another. "Patrick, I..." Phoebe began. He put a finger to her lips.
"I know. You don't have to say it. You don't have to say anything at all, sweetheart."
"I want to say it," Phoebe said, pressing close to him. "It scares me, and it's hard, but I want to say it." She stared into his eyes, not wanting to hide anything from him anymore. "I love you. I've loved you from the start, and I'm sorry I pushed you away. I shouldn't have." He gently brushed her tears away.
"But then you wouldn't have been you. And it's you I'm in love with, Phoebe. All of you. I know you're scared. But can't you see how strong you are? How brave you've always been?"
"I want to be brave. For you. And for myself, too." Patrick held out the half-crushed Caledonia orchid to her, and when she took it from him with a teary, "Thank you for giving me my first flower," he kissed her again, before spinning her around in his arms. Together, they swayed to the sound of the music coming through from the other room. Phoebe thought back to what it had been like dancing with Patrick the first time they had met. It had been wonderful. But this was better. So much better. Back then, he had been just a particularly attractive stranger suitable for a quick fling. Now, he was so much more. He was the man she loved. For all that being in love was strange and frightening, it was also wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Phoebe pressed closer to him, wrapping her arms around his neck as they gave up any pretense of dancing. Instead, they simply held one another. "Are we going to start making plans for the future?" Patrick placed a gentle kiss on her forehead.
"Later. And trust me, Phoebe, there will be a later."
He pulled her aside just as the doors opened, letting people spill out as he held her close behind the door, where no one could notice them. Phoebe took a breath and pulled them out into the open. She didn't mind if people saw them. She wanted people to see them. Marge Banning went past, arm in arm with her new husband. She saw Phoebe with Patrick, paused for a brief moment, and then smiled a wide, knowing smile. Phoebe grinned back and held on to Patrick a little tighter. "I'm going to have to go help with the reception in a minute," she whispered, though she made no move to let go.
"I know," he said, but he didn't let go either. "Tell me, Phoebe, do you believe in miracles yet?"
"I believe in us."
"That's close enough."
Phoebe nodded. Yes, it was. Epilogue. Tice Smith tapped away on his laptop,
making a few last-minute changes to the playlist for the wedding reception currently underway at the Rose Chalet. He looked over at the dance floor. Marge Banning looked great, twirling around the room with her new husband, who clearly knew exactly how lucky he was, if the smile on his face was anything to go by. All the other dancers looked as if they were having a good time, too. That was one thing Tice always prided himself on. He could always get people out onto the dance floor. So far, he'd had a busy day. First, there had been that business of taking over the final Tara details from RJ so that RJ could help Phoebe. Tice grinned as he saw her dancing with Patrick Knight. It looked as if he wouldn't be able to flirt with Phoebe anymore. He hoped the new permanent caterer Rose had hired would be pretty. And single. On top of RJ's duties, Tice had had the string quartet to manage. He'd written out parts for a new viola player who was filling in, and then made sure that the set list was properly arranged, not to mention having to quickly rewire one of the speakers on his amplifiers. All in all, he'd been so busy that he'd barely been able to enjoy the party. And he always enjoyed the party. He had a reputation to uphold, after all. He looked out over the reception again and saw that Marge was done dancing and was waving him over. What could the beautiful bride want with him? He picked his way through the dancers with ease. He'd had lots of practice in the clubs.
Hi, Marge. I hope you're having a good time.
I'm the happiest I've ever been. Everything is perfect.
You do realize that today is a sad one for all of us single men, don't you?
Tice gave her his saddest expression, which got a brief laugh from the vitamin heiress.
It's just as well I planned ahead then, isn't it? She said, taking his arm. Come here. Let me introduce you to my bridesmaids. They're all my nieces.
Marge winced theatrically. I'm still not used to the idea of being old enough to have nieces, let alone grown-up ones. Please flatter me by saying I don't look it.
Will your new husband be angry if I say that you're the most beautiful woman in the room?
Not since we know you say that to all the women.
Marge's bridesmaids had congregated in one corner of the room, forming, thanks to the theme for the wedding, a cluster of blue taffeta.
Now, girls, she said, there's someone I'd like you all to meet.
Tice found himself being scrutinized. Marge's nieces obviously liked what they saw, because they moved forward slightly, obviously eager to say hello. Well, all except the one at the end of the line who was hanging back a little. Who could blame her, when Marge was clearly in a mood to set him up with one of them? For the next few minutes, Tice smiled and made jokes with niece after niece. There was Annette and Georgia and... he couldn't remember all their names.
So, Tice, Marge asked after she'd introduced him to a few of her bridesmaids. What do you think of my nieces so far?
They're all very lovely, Tice said automatically.
The truth was that any one of them might have been good to go on a date with sometime, but he half suspected that giving one of them his number would only spark a feeding frenzy, and it would be difficult to make a quick getaway with so many wedding guests in his way.
Now, Tice, Marge said, I just have one more niece to introduce you to. Don't hide at the back there, dear.
Marge stepped forward, taking the woman's arm and bringing her forward firmly.
I'm afraid this niece is strictly off-limits, Tice. She's getting married here herself 4 months from now.
Tice thought he remembered Rose saying something about Marge being responsible for nearly a quarter of the chalet's income, what with her own weddings, as well as those of her friends and family. He readied his best smile. He was prepared to say something about how he hoped that her upcoming wedding would go as well as this one. Then he finally caught sight of the final niece's face. He stopped, frozen to the spot, unable to say anything. For what seemed like an eternity, he couldn't do anything except stare into the deep green eyes in front of him. Eyes he remembered perfectly. Eyes he had never thought he would see again. This has been The Wedding Dance,
Four Weddings and a Fiasco, Book 2. Written by Lucy Kevin. Narrated by Eva Kaminsky. Copyright 2011 to 2013 by Oak Press, LLC. Production copyright 2014 by Oak Press, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.